was funny.
Holmberg's morning sickness.
You were laughing like a hyena when he said it.
98.
What the hell is wrong with you?
K-U-P-D.
There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Good morning, everybody. Hello there. Welcome to a three-sport town. It's 5:45. This is the Morning Sickness. My name's John Holmberg. How are you? There's Brady Bogan. There's Brett Vesley. Big Dick Toledo. The whole show's here. Let's roll, shall we? All the feigned sadness. All of the...
You sound sad.
All the memories that people are spewing out about the coyotes this morning. And all the... Wow. Imagine if you were in a 28-year relationship and neglected each other for at least 17 of them and then acted surprised that it didn't work out. Oh, the news media that didn't care about the coyotes at all for 30 years is like, what happened? Oh, it's so sad. It's so you. None of these news people outside of maybe a few of the sports guys can. You know who you need to be sad for? Paul Sura, Todd Walsh. The people who run the game ops, the in-game ops, people who are really nice, and all the people who actually just lost their jobs. Everybody else with the Coyotes is in a better spot, period. End of story. Oh, this can't believe it happened. Stop.
Wonder how many will travel with them in the
not many.
The office. I don't think many. Yeah.
It's new ownership. Very rarely are they going, hey, everybody come. And besides that, it's new ownership of a failure. And the Coyotes have a lot of talent. They're a young team on the up. This is the best thing that could happen. If you truly love the Coyotes, it's like a girlfriend. You know you're not right for her. You guys have been roommates for a long time. You're not sleeping together anymore. You're kind of hanging out. You still are good pals. You're getting along. Everything's good. But deep down, you know, we can't keep this up for a long time. If we do, we're not good for
each other.
You want something good to happen for her if you truly care about her. She should want something good to happen to you if she cares about you. This Salt Lake City move is the best thing that can happen to that lady you haven't touched, taken to dinner, you haven't been out with in a long time. You've just been shaking hands and saying goodnight, waking up the next morning and trying to get through the day. That's essentially the bad marriage that was the Coyotes and us. Period. And, you know, you didn't ask her. Nobody in the city, to continue the analogy, ever said, how was your day? Who you hanging out with? Name them. They're less known than the WNBA on the whole. Now, I know I can get a few people who call email in. I know every player. I was like, you are rare. You are not normal. And anybody feigning sadness, tell me, you know, name of the coach.
Donor.
Right.
And donor.
Right. Yeah. This franchise should have had a bullet put in it a decade ago when the NHL had to own it because it was in such disarray. A proper ownership group looked at it and said, I can't fix this. For 2.5 years, the NHL owned the Coyotes. It's unprecedented. Or the league actually owned a team and said, somebody take it off our hands. They're like, absolutely not. The thing's a complete catastrophe. No. It's been a mess for a long time, and it isn't anybody's fault. It's not our fault as the city. It's not their fault as the players and team. It's been ownership. It's been just management. It's a mess. It's been a mess. I feel most sorry for Todd Walsh, who, by the way, is a really good dude. And Doug Hopkins. Happy birthday to Doug Hopkins, by the way. It's Doug's. I know it's going to be hard for you to believe. It's Doug's 53rd birthday.
No way.
I know. At least 70. That's what I'd have guessed.
Can't believe
53rd birthday. I would have never looked at those commercials and said 53. It makes me feel bad about myself. But now in the new hair, 38-year-old Doug Hopkins. But he sent me a clip of Todd Walsh's goodbye yesterday. And his heartfelt. You can feel it. Todd meant it. Todd loved hockey. And, you know, you feel sorry for Tyson Nash, who I'm not sure he's going to continue on up in Salt Lake, although that would be a mistake if they didn't take Nash with him. But yeah, I mean, come on.
He was given the opportunity there, Tyson Nash, but he could have done a very similar deal like Biz Nasty. early on.
He could do national. He's great, and they're good dudes. Everybody involved in this thing is good people. It's just been such a mess. But I'm listening to these retrospectives and the clips of the past and Rowan at Kachuk, Javi Bulin. I'm like, yeah, that's who. You remember that was America West Airlines, and I'm not changing the name because that's where they were when this team had a chance at an arena that wasn't built for hockey. You couldn't even see half the ice. And then when they moved to the new arena, we watched for a little bit.
It was just the back end, John. Yeah. You couldn't see the goalie, the goal on the one side.
It was a third of the ice. It was a third of the entire rig. You had to have a...
Don't go half.
A third of the ice for half of the crowd. The pixelated screen that barely worked that you could watch them play. It was... it's been a mess from the beginning when they sat in America West Arena, basketball arena, and tried to shove a hockey team in there. And, some of you aren't going to be able to see the whole rink. Is that okay? And we're like, no, it's not. This is what we'll get something better, right? For sure. Fast forward 7 years, they finally get an arena that matters, and they put it in Los Angeles.
Yeah, middle of nowhere. Next stop, Blythe.
I'll be the only honest media member that says, goodbye, Coyotes. I hope you guys do great. We don't need you here anymore, and it isn't your fault. Go flourish somewhere else, because this was never going to happen here. And the ownership group that's here wanted them to leave because now they're first in line for an expansion franchise, which is better money, better opportunity, and a whole new start. That is what the Phoenix area should be rooting for. And this ownership group, that farce of the Tempe vote and whatever that thing is they tried to draw up a few weeks ago that said, we'll put it over here in Scott. It's all been lies. It's all been in an effort to look as if they're trying and knowingly presenting things to town councils and voters that were behind the eight ball to start with. It never had a chance. It was all just a big show to say, oh, we'd love to stay, and then here's an impossible thing that if you don't vote for it, we have to leave. They were trying to leave. And they were right to do so. They weren't trying to pull the wool over our eyes. They just had to make a presentation to the league like, we have ideas. We should be an ownership group, but it's just not working here. Trust me, 5-6 years from now, there'll probably be another hockey team here. It's too big a market to leave low.
I think he had Scott Boras negotiating his contract because it's like $1.2 billion. But if he builds a team in the next 5 years, he has to give that back. But he's got his team with his new land. I mean,
come on,
guys. It's a win-win either way. Either he gets a team or gets $1.2 billion.
It was all a tap dance. Good move. A tap dance. Yeah, exactly. If he gets another team, he doesn't get the $1.2. The league does.
Right.
But otherwise, they give them the new franchise, and you get all that. You get so much money for getting a brand new to build from the ground up. We'll see. But I'm
people want the Roadrunners back now.
Roadrunners were awesome. Yeah. Roadrunners were incredible. That was some of the most fun I've ever had watching sports. Going to $8. I'll never forget the price because I used to have to kind of scrimp for it. Like I got to get $8. I need another $5 for like a drink and some food. And we're going down there. We used to go down there all the time and watch that. This was the time has come. A lot of you were in marriages like that. You're sitting there looking at your wife in the morning going, I haven't gotten a squeezer from this one for, Jesus, what's it been, 2 years, 3 years? You're not getting squeezers. You guys kind of hanging out. You're showing up at dinner parties and everybody's like, oh, they seem fine. It's a mess. Disaster.
Write the check.
Write the goddamn. I know that's the tough part, and this has been tough for the ownership. Jesus, do I get the? What if we don't get the? And then it's only $1.2 billion, and we actually might lose on a $1 billion deal. So you don't write the check. You try to, you don't want to write the check. It's expensive. The Coyotes were a cheaper to keeper situation until she started to say, I don't think I want to be in this anymore. Then you had to pretend like you wanted her around. You fiddled her bean. You forgot how. Do you even feel anything down there anymore? It's like And are we still? I don't know. I'm fine if you go bang Salt Lake City. I really don't care.
You don't care if I bang Salt Lake City?
No. I don't even know you anymore. We're roommates. You know that, right? We're kind of roommates right now, and that's kind of... It's nice. You're a nice person. I really care about you. We're roommates. It's time for you to go. Go bang Salt Lake City. He seems really interested.
It was that one night he came back in. You know what? Just go to Salt Lake.
Yeah. We've all had friends go through the divorce where, you've seen, or even breakups, even in high school and stuff, where it's like, this is weird. Like, something ain't right there. And then when they break up, you always have somebody go, oh, my God, I can't believe it. See, Teresa and Ryan broke up. We all knew that was going to. This wasn't a forever thing. We saw the writing on the wall. She's banging Salt Lake City, for God's sakes. Even catching her on the phone with Salt Lake City. It's like, are you talking to Salt Lake City? No, I didn't. You don't have to lie. It's okay. We're well past me caring about who you're talking to.
I thought it would be, what happened to us?
I don't know. It's been a long time, though. This relationship went south a long time ago, and we all just kind of got along. She got kicked out of the house. Asked never to return. Glendale said, get out and never come back.
We'd rather have it empty.
Yes. We would rather not have your 42 nights. Get out.
But where do we go?
I don't know. A small apartment in Tempe.
Don't care.
Go to some small condo in Tempe. But I don't think that. Just do it. Get out. We don't want you here anymore. Moved in with a neighbor. Like, I'll take care of you for a little while. But I'm watching the news and there's like many tears. I'm like, where? Like, if the Suns left, we'd have clips. You'd remember the Barkley trade, the scandal in the 80s, the shot heard round the world in 76. You'd hear the Chris Paul years, the Colangelos into the South. We know all of that. The whole city's been involved. The Coyotes? Name someone outside of Shane Doan from 2000 to 2011. Most people are like, well, that's not fair. They were terrible.
Gretzky
was an owner.
I know.
And he was a coach.
Yeah. It's about the only one, though.
Gretzky showed up. And you can get a few if you really start thinking like, oh, yeah, that guy. But, I mean, make the mark. And there are some diehards out there. There are some people who are, but it wasn't big enough. It just wasn't big enough. It was a bad match. So, I don't know. Looking at that whole goddamn thing and acting, you know, they did a thing on KTAR. Let's play clips. How sad is this? It's sad.
Superstar Landon Wilson.
Yeah, we played golf with Landon Wilson. And what did he do the whole time? Oh, buddy, this franchise is a catastrophe. I've been on juniors teams that are more well-run. Landon would tell us while we're playing, it's a mess. And we loved Landon. A mess. A catastrophe of a mess. Good for you. I hope you in Salt Lake City are so happy. Now, I'm going to meet this new broad. We're going to kind of mold her into our own and maybe get this expansion chick, and we'll get something going. But
could be the Salt Lake Moroni's now, or what?
Yeah, the Salt Lake Trumpeteers. Yeah. I like to say
Salt Lake Soakers.
Yeah. If they don't have their, God damn it, would this be great? Their hockey uniforms would be button-up short-sleeve shirts.
Oh, the sweaters, yeah.
It would just be like, it doesn't even have to be real buttons, because that would probably be bad.
Yeah, but just put them on.
They look like buttons.
With a name tag.
Yeah. Name tag and Elder Doan.
Elder, on the back it says Elder last. Yeah. Oh, God damn it. That's too good.
They get into a fight. They pull that off. But yeah. Their undergarments are there.
Occasionally during the game, it isn't even a fight. They just try to convert you like a guy breaks out the book. Hello, my name is Elder Price. I'd like to read to you from this amazing book. The Book of Mormon is every intermission. It's just got to happen. Salt Lake City has got to play with this in a huge way. I don't know. Maybe make it about the Mormonism thing and make it the, you know, the
and
pioneer.
It'd be fantastic for the game. You get more Samoans and Tongans into the sport.
They seem to love the Mormon sports. If they start recruiting Samoan hockey players, that pipeline is just it's brainwashing.
Hey, you're not scoring.
Yeah, so it's weird. It's weird how everybody said that. I know people who wanted to love hockey in this town. We all come from back east, almost all of us. Well, they wanted to love hockey, and this team never did it right to where they felt like they could. So it turned into what obviously it's going to turn into. Everybody's showing up for the other team in a 5,000-seat arena. It's an embarrassment. And as a city, nobody cares. The news is acting like we just lost, you know, the Cardinals. No. Nobody cares. This is a franchise. And they were bad before they got here. The whole reason it fell apart in Winnipeg never changed. The thing stayed exactly the same from when it left its original home. Winnipeg got a new team, new owners, and everything went great. They expanded back to Winnipeg Jets are a thing again. The Coyotes are still a mess, and the new Winnipeg Jets are actually well run. Yeah, they'll get another team. But goodbye, Coyotes. I hope Salt Lake City's got a bigger dick. That's all. And let's call it like it is. You left us for a... And the only thing, I think, like an even wider guy than us. I don't even know how you did that. You found a wider guy than us. Well, congratulations. And off you go. And we'll miss all the players. Like, and the other guy.
Donor.
Donor. Yeah, well, the new donor. New donor. His
donor
son.
Junior.
Donor Junior is on his team. It's a weird little circle of strangeness that when Shane Doan was with the Winnipeg Jets his rookie year, they moved to Phoenix. And his son's rookie year with the Coyotes, they moved to Salt Lake City. So it's the circle of Doan, who, by the way, I've always said, is the Black Death of this franchise. The one thing that has always been is a constant connection to Shane Doan with failure. And I like Shane Doan, and I, you know, but he's the cooler at the Vegas tables. Where there's a Doan, there's a bad franchise. It just seems to be a thing.
He's mush.
Really good, though. Like, he can play. But for some reason, if Doan's close, the franchise is a mess. He's Captain Coyote. I'm like, yeah, but isn't that kind of like being the smartest kid in special ed? And he's a nice dude. This isn't a bash on Doan. I just think he carries a little bit of, you know, you don't want him around your blackjack table in Vegas because things are going to cool off. He's the cooler. And now they got Son of Doan, which is the sequel to Doan. And,
yeah.
I don't know if it's a family tradition to ruin franchises, but we'll see. Good luck.
When you're good at something, you know, you stick with it.
And we've all been with that girl where you kind of realize midway through, it's like, I got to get out of this, and I don't know how. That's kind of what this whole thing has felt like since the Glendale deal fell apart 4 years ago, and they stayed there for a little while. It's always felt like something's got to give here.
Tempe's the relative to Glendale and go, you know, we never liked her.
Yeah, Tempe's going to go back and go, dude, thank God. I don't know how you lived with her so long. Like, she's only been there for a couple years. I felt
now
bad.
Now you tell me.
I felt bad for her. I kept her in the house for a little bit, but my God, she was trying to build a house over here. She didn't have any money. It's like, this bitch is crazy.
Are you at least nostalgic about your ex coming back to town? Because we're stealing the Roadrunners back from Tucson.
Tucson will get there because now we can prove we're a hockey team.
Right.
Is the owners currently of the Coyotes, are they the ones that are bringing the Roadrunners back?
He gets to keep the Roadrunners.
So it's his.
Yep.
So in a way, that's like, watch what we can do with this, and exactly. We can still make a hockey town.
But they're going to play in Mullet. So.
Well, that's where they belong.
Exactly.
That's where the Coyotes should play. I still don't understand why we've got that dumb old basketball arena that we have a fair at and some cow ground stuff every once in a while. We can't retro that giant chunk of land into a stadium. It's a perfect spot.
They took the skeleton of Seattle Center Coliseum and made it into Key Arena.
You're right.
They gutted it and redid it.
I know it would be expensive, but how perfect is that space? Well, we couldn't have the fair. Good. That's 100 less stabbings for the year we're building the thing. Awesome.
And you just
move the fair.
That's why, because of the neighborhood. They don't want people out there.
They're idiots.
I agree.
My dad's company that he worked for built stadiums. I was talking to Jay up at React Defense about this. In the olden times, you know, Chicago, they would say, find me the cheapest land, and we're going to build a stadium on it. And it was always in questionable neighborhoods. Cabrini Green, right across the street from the United Center. And it was a rough spot.
Beautiful.
Chicago. It changed because what they started to do was not only build stadiums, but build housing around it. Places. Downtown Los Angeles is not a cool place before Staples Center. Staples Center showed up with a promise of brand new hotels, arts and entertainment district, all this other stuff. Downtown LA was a cesspool. It was a nope that you didn't ever want to go down there. Now it's got all sorts of stuff. It's like,
and you paid people to watch your car.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, big
Chicago,
time.
Big time.
But stadiums changed from give me the poor people land and we'll just plunk it down there because it's cheap to put me up in North Scottsdale. We'll build a big mall around it, and we'll make this thing an activity center, and it actually increases property value. So people who say, I don't want it near my home, you're kind of right, but it's different than it used to be.
If
you're
Lions played in Pontiac for how long? Because they didn't want anything to do with downtown Detroit.
Right. And then downtown Detroit happens, and downtown Detroit's actually now the mecca for that dump. And everybody's leaving the suburbs. Yeah, it's not a bad thing to have a stadium near you. Near you. On top of you, different animal. Because it's just busy. But they don't bring, like Mary Manross, who screwed this whole thing up with the Coyotes 20 years ago when she vetoed where the stadium was supposed to go before it went to Glendale, which was the best spot ever. It's now Sky Song, but it was Scottsdale.
That would have been amazing.
The old Los Arcos.
And McDowell.
Yep.
Or McKellips.
McDowell. Yeah, Los Arcos Mall.
Los Arcos Mall. It was perfect. And she said, I don't want that element in my city. It brings crime. And it used to. Now it brings, look what Westgate
Flight
is.
Flight pattern. Mm-hmm.
Westgate's so cool. Yeah, oh, well, that was the Cardinal Stadium turning that. Yeah, the Coyotes never had a flight pattern issue, but they never got it.
Well, they
it.
Did with the Tempe proposal.
Right. Well, that was part of the design. My dad was on the city council meeting when the Cardinals dropped steel off on Priest in Washington to build the new Cardinal Stadium in Tempe, and it was right there across the 143. It was going to happen. They had ordered the steel from a French company. I remember talking to my dad. He goes, steel's on the way. We got it. And he had to stand in a town council meeting and listen to the mayor of Phoenix, who really was like, Tempe's not getting this goddamn money. Said, well, they're in a flight pattern. My dad pointed to ASU Stadium and said, literally can see it from where we're building this one. Yeah, but that's not in the flight path. And then another guy in the thing said, you think a hijacker? Well, we can't leave the flight pattern. Right. Like they're going to turn. Do you think the trade centers were in the flight path? No, you can move the airplane into whatever you want. If a hijacker has a plane, the whole point of hijacking is it's going off the plan. And it's going to find the stadium. So it doesn't really matter where you put it. What if there's a crash? Crash? We're worried about the football stadium? What about the plane that's crashing into the neighborhood underneath?
Tempe Town Lake.
Yeah. If you're worried about that, never fly planes over a city.
Ever.
It was the worst argument ever. So it's all about money and semantics and everything else. But stadiums are good now. They start planting. Now, you don't want it in your backyard, that kind of thing. But if...
That's why they put it out there in Glendale.
Right. If it's close, well, because they thought it would expand out. And Westgate turned into a thing. It's pretty nice out there. Yes, there's all where there's people, there's going to be crime.
Where there's avenues, there's going to be crime.
And there's the other part. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Where there's that.
I need that shirt.
Yeah, where there's avenues, there's crime is actually. You wearing that? That's boy,
that shirt.
It is a life statement. But the bigger news today is Doug Hopkins, 53 years old. TV's Doug Hopkins, 53. So last night at 9 o'clock, I get a text that said, you want to come by Doug Hopkins' birthday? It's tomorrow at 5. This is one of those invites where you feel like you have to invite. Maybe you don't really want me to go. Last minute, don't come invite. I'm on the short list. And it's because I always say I'll never drive all the way out there. But hey. You could have at least invited me and had it so I could have told you no a week ago, Doug Hopkins. That's garbage. We'll have some food and everything else. If you want to make it out, rush hour weekday for you, it's a long drive. Tomorrow.
It's almost like they planned it that way.
Yeah, exactly. The anti-Holmberg birthday party for Hopkins, 53. But that hair of his, like a newborn, hasn't got a haircut for like 2 years. You know when newborns finally grow their hair and that wavy, beautiful hair pops up? And mothers never want to cut. The first haircut, they put it in the bag and keep it in some book forever. That's Doug's new hair. It's been around for like a year now. It's an infant's first awesome haircut. It's beautiful. I'm getting emails from people who are like, is Doug, what happened to Doug's hair? I'm like, I know. The new commercials, I know. Wavy.
Glorious.
He's basically a hippie now. But it's his birthday. So if you see Doug around town today, buy him a beverage.
The dude with the glorious long hair, tie-dye shirt.
Yeah, yeah. He looks like Bill Walton in the early 70s. He's got that big mop of hair.
Looks like the baby from Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, Roger Rabbit. That's what Doug's got. He's got the Roger Rabbit, that thing that mom's put a bow in.
It's long enough to put a bow in it.
That's Doug's hair. It's awesome. But it's his birthday today. So happy birthday to our friend TV's Doug Hopkins. He's one of the most fun people you'll ever hang out with. That's for darn sure. I'll tell you that. And his 53rd birthday. I know. I'd lost that bet, too. Doug should just travel the entire nation, going from fair to carnival to circus to that dude that guesses ages and just rob them of all their plushies because there's nobody that's ever going to get that right. Ever. But it's birthday boy Dougie. You know what we should get him? An expansion team. Brett's going out this morning. We got U-Fest coming up 1 week and a day from today. Next Friday is U-Fest, and Brett's going to just do tickets. I don't know what you got going on. What is the exact deal?
I don't either.
You don't?
No, we're going to be doing a ticket giveaway out at Prestige Billiards on the Avenues.
Oh, so you're going to the Avenues.
Yeah, 79th Avenue and Bell Road. Don't even start. Nothing's going
to
happen.
Pay attention to
it. Nothing's going to happen.
Saturday.
Yeah, it's an avenue. Of course
they'll find it Saturday. They'll find it. Saturday. 79th Avenue and what?
And Bell. Right by, around Arrowhead.
Arrowhead, yeah.
Okay, there's a big wash
I wouldn't know.
I wouldn't know.
I think it's in that. I think it's like 90 something Avenue.
Stay vigilant.
Yeah, stay. Keep your eyes on the. No, if you walk a green belt at all in that area in the next few days, heads up, on a swivel, you're going to find that. Well, who the hell would drop off a goddamn roll of carpet in the middle of the green belt? This neighborhood's going. Oh, that smells funny.
It happens.
I don't know anything about it. You're on the west side. You're not used to this?
Yeah, exactly.
79th Avenue and Bell.
Yeah.
At Prestige.
Yeah, from 7 to 9.
All right. And Bert's going out there today, and you're going to do tickets. Are you giving them all away?
That's a good question.
Oh, my goodness. All right, your chance.
No, I'll definitely have a chance to win a pair, and I believe I have a pair or a few pair.
Yeah,
we'll see how it comes
beautiful
out.
Thing.
But I'll have them out there with me, so you'll basically... walk out
get
tickets.
There.
It's not a sign-up thing.
It says Prestige Billiards U Fest ticket drops stop.
Yeah.
So they're just going to fall off you.
Sure.
According to this. That's
oops.
Oops. There's another drop ticket. What's a ticket drop stop? If not, you just loaded with tickets that fall off you.
That's what I'm thinking.
What I'm
but,
thinking.
You know.
Yeah. All right. We got that. We got you tickets all over the place. So if you want to get out there and win your tickets to go see this amazing Offspring, Chevelle, Bad Wolves. Who am I missing? Motionless and White.
P.O.D.
P.O.D. This is a hell of a
Bury
show.
Bury the Darkness.
Bury the Darkness. These guys are so excited to be part of this. It's awesome.
They should be, though. I mean, it's a big show for
it's
them.
Awesome.
You know? It's awesome.
But it's good that they're taking advantage.
They're cool,
of
though.
Yeah, they're very
they're
nice.
Great
so,
guys.
Great show next Friday. And Brett's got your free tickets out there this morning.
Is Meathead going to be pressing pool tables for people?
Yeah, and actually, Kevin, yeah, Meathead, the owner of Prestige Billiards, is going to be out there and watch this! And he'll hold all the slate of four pool tables and just and leg
the
press.
The 10 people will sit on it. Uh-huh. Lift them.
He'll leg press the entire brick and mortar building if you ask him. He can do it. And then the whole time you'll just hear while he's leg pressing a building.
He's like Mongo from.
He's Mongo.
Oh.
Beanhead. That's a better nickname.
It's a match.
Meathead. It's Mongo. I watched him pick up a pool table. I watched it happen. Go home and try to pick one of those up. Moving the slate around was already impressive. Go grab a slate. Then he picked that up like it was paper. Four chunks of it from when he built my pool table at my house. And then I watched him move it with his hands.
And Brett, maybe you can do some of those videos where the cars are peeling out doing 360s in his Hellcat.
Yeah.
People can sit there and try to jump it.
Yeah. He scooted. I'm like, oh, well, you can move it with your hands. He goes, this thing ain't going anywhere. Teams of people try to push that pool table and ain't going anywhere. He's a beast. He's a good dude, too. Another one. Maybe it's his birthday as well.
Kind of a Meathead birthday special out there, too?
Yeah, Meathead's birthday special. You got Hopkins' birthday special. Yeah. Byron over at Moment. Everybody has a birthday. Let's celebrate today. Let's do it. Let's get a wake-up song, shall we? 585-9800. A good one, maybe to say goodbye to the Yo-Yos. The Salt Lake City Moroni. What will their name be? I'm guessing.
I like the Soakers.
The Soakers is great. The Soakers. That I love. Yeah, I don't know what to do. They'll go with something stupid like the Cougars or like something typical. The Mustangs.
The Missions.
Mission's good.
The Elders.
Yeah. The Temple. The Salt Lake City Temple. I don't know if the Mormons want that, though, to be named. The Elders I love. The Elders is a great name. But Salt Lake City's now boning our ex, and we're all
good.
I'm just glad she's happy. But yeah, Tempe, you're right, Brady. Tempe went over to Glendale and said, finally, that bitch is out. I don't know how you did this. She's crazy. She wanted me to build her $1.5 billion house. And I'm like, what do you have? Like, nothing. I'll live in it. Like, wait a second. You got to kick in a little, right? Well, we'll give you some, but you have to foot most.
And did you know this?
Yeah.
What? They were doing this?
She did the same. We built her a house, and she was like, she hated it.
And after a while, you'll be sitting there like everybody else. Divorce is great.
Divorce.
I love it.
Tempe and Glendale's been like, woohoo.
Money well spent.
The whole
spent.
Time. She isn't here. They're fine. Everybody's going to work it out. Quit acting sad. None of you paid attention to this team for 28 years. And when you tried, you got a hand in your face. She was a bipolar loony. Give us that wake-up song. 585-9800. A good one. And we'll scream it together. It's 98 KUPD. Wake up!
Arizona's most powerful, powerful rock radio station. KUPD.
You thought that was funny.
Holmberg's morning sickness.
You were laughing like a hyena when he said it.
98.
What the hell is wrong with you?
KUPD.
All right. There you go. Thank you very much. Mike and the Molotovs and Brett is on his way to Prestige Billiards in Glendale.
If you see the KUPD truck, roll your window down, do the Italian gesture. Oh! Yeah,
give him the fingers.
Yeah.
Not that finger. The little circle. You can give him the finger, too. But he's going to the west side. 79th Avenue and Bell, essentially. It's actually 83rd Avenue and Bell, but, you know, the main cross streets. So you get on out there. Brett's going to have all the stuff out there he's bringing with him for U-Fest, U-Fest ticket drop. And here I just got a text from Meathead, the owner of Prestige Billiards, who liked the idea as if you can lift it, it's yours. He's going to move a pool table out in front. And if without apparatus or equipment, you can pick it up and get it out of there, you can have it. Oh, God. And he also told me, he goes, and I'll move it to prove it's not rigged in front of him. So if you can manage to, and I don't know what Kevin's going to do for rules. By the way, KUPD not affiliated with all the hernias and lawsuits and backs.
This is the Prestige Challenge.
The Prestige, Kevin the Meathead Prestige Billiards Challenge. He's moving a table out right now. If you can lift it, it's yours. When Brock Lesnar moves that table out there, and then you try to pick it up and move it, he might even give you a friend to help. But usually they're...
No, it's one dude.
Yeah, if you one dude it, and you can manage to get... I don't know if he's going to be like, all right, fine. Take one of those things that lifts washers and dryers and try to... If you can move it, you can have it. And I mean, move it onto a truck and drive it out. If you can get it out of there, it's yours. I can hear him right now. Well, he's moving that thing around. So not only could you win U-Fest tickets, if you're a mountain of a man or woman... That's not going to happen. You can have a pool table today, too, for free. All you got to do is be able to get it up, which is the case for all of us, really. Otherwise, Brett's going to have U-Fest tickets for you. You might want to just go out there and see that. I might go out there and just watch people trying to lift a pool table.
Oh, that's
it is.
That'd be pretty good.
It's hard.
Pretty
good. It's a pretty tough one. 7 to 9 o'clock this morning, Brett's out there. 7942 West Bell Road. It's Bell Road and 83rd Avenue. So get on over there to Prestige Billiards. Meathead will get you all loaded up and ready. Got this email I'm very proud of. I find this very funny. It says, good morning, John. I'd like to report that I saw Bogues in the wild yesterday. That's you, Brady.
Yeah.
My daughter had a tennis match in Gilbert, and we drove to watch her play. I look around, and a stubby, round, older gentleman was sitting at a table. Took me a minute, but I figured it out. That's Brady. Funny when you don't know someone other than what is described to you by other people. But sure enough, my suspicion was confirmed when the round tennis rock star dressed in an all-white tennis attire took time away from watching Kirby to film a bird in a tree with his phone. I could hear John's voice in my head saying, it's just a bird, man. Who the F cares? Thank you for making my morning tolerable, Julian. Were you filming birds in trees?
I was not. It was my Uncle Frank, who's a park ranger. He whips out.
They know the difference between you and Uncle Frank.
Well, yeah, but I went over there with him. It wasn't my phone. He was recording it. And because he'd asked me what that bird was, and it was on top. I'm like, I think it's a cactus wren. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. It wasn't.
Bird watching with old men.
Actually, the one thing we did go, we stood up twice. One. The second time was to see that B-25 bomber that is at Falcon Field.
Oh.
They fly that in the afternoon.
That's how entertaining Frank's tennis is.
Well, Kirby had won a singles match
0-0. Oh, no,
it wasn't
showed
much
up.
Of a challenge.
The kid didn't show up?
No. Just
oh, she's 6-0, 6-0. Yeah. I don't even know what they go to.
Yeah.
Oh. And yeah, then, so it's not good. It's girls tennis at its lowest level when that other girl's playing.
Yeah, it was a little bit.
Pretty bad.
I don't know about lowest, but
so it was. Well, the only thing lower was like kids who have no arms or
beginners.
Yeah, very much beginners. That's right.
A little bit better than beginners.
It's girls tennis at age 14, 15. Sitting in 95 degrees. The only thing better is watching birds with an old man. And again, you're telling me these people argued the word elderly yesterday, and they're watching. They're filming birds and trees.
They have that app that identifies. I haven't done that one.
That's maybe the most elderly thing you can do. A bird identification app.
Oh, yeah. Well, my brother has it, but I give him semi-excuse because he's a biology teacher. And so
you should know it already.
Yeah. Not in Arizona when he comes out.
What does he need to teach that
for? Like, what are you doing filming that plant?
So biology is geographic to him?
Yeah.
It only goes as far
because
as
he can know,
the
you know,
Cuyahoga.
He'll know the standards, the saguaro and certain cactus.
Oh, sure, sure.
But then when you come out there, he's like,
Why study all the stuff that isn't around you? It's just biology of... So he teaches biology of the greater Cleveland area.
And the two or three that he knows in other states that might be common.
Oh, he pops off a couple others to make people think, wow, this guy knows everything.
He knows it. Mm-hmm. It's all you need to do.
Every road trip's a discovery for him.
It is.
Yeah, fake it till you make it as a biology guy. That's what I've always said. And that's the best thing about science. We can make it whatever we want. It's there for us to do whatever we want with. But yeah, so you were spotted yesterday in the wild bird watching. That's not good, Brady. Just always remember that when you guys are wowing a bird and filming it in a tree and it's not doing anything spectacular like holding a missing infant, I guess like there's people are going to laugh at you. So just realize...
Maybe we shouldn't. I didn't want Uncle Frank to be by himself on that thing.
You should have told Uncle Frank.
Yeah. That's kind of. I was a wingman.
I know what actually happened. Guaranteed.
Uncle Frank, look over there. It's a cactus wren. You don't get a lot of that where you're from.
Sure don't, Brady. What
are you doing with that rope?
I'm going to hang myself. This conversation is the worst I've ever been in my life.
Let's go stand by that bird. Film it.
Okay. That'll be the last thing I do. Yeah, don't do that. People.
Yeah, it was 2 days ago. That's
right. Either way, people see you and think about these things and hold yourself to a higher standard than filming birds who look at you like, what are you looking at?
You're a bird.
Yeah, we're around every day.
Neat.
But Frank probably got a kick out of it because, like I said yesterday, Frank's an elderly man. He hates hearing it.
Retired.
Hey, look, 65 plus is the definition of elderly.
Right. And who's
he's on
retired.
Yeah. You're super elderly. And that's not a bad word.
No, he didn't take offense.
I know. Mary.
Stand Mary.
Yeah. Mary's elderly. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a good word.
Witchy Poo did not appreciate that.
Well, she told you, Chunks, her nickname for you. I don't like those kind of nicknames. How's it feel, Mary? How's it feel, huh? As the family argued with me for years that Chunks was not a kind nickname to give to a obese young boy.
What are you talking about?
She didn't like being called elderly. She fired back immediately.
Oh, Chunks, you're a pussy. Big deal I call you that. Well, you're elderly. All right, I'm calling my lawyers.
Now you prove it when you start watching birds. I'm worried about you. Your entertainment standards have to be raised. The bird has to be holding like a Lindbergh baby or a bone, like a human femur. And like now you can film a bird. Otherwise, and it has to be doing something. Otherwise, it's just a bird.
It was no red belly sapsucker.
Nobody cares. No one would care if it was. It's just a bird. It has to be doing something or has to be like shouldn't be here bird. Like
that's a bigger deal.
It shouldn't be here birds are the ones you film. Like, whoa.
Yeah, like the with a crane the other day picking lizards off our slump block wall on top of it.
That's kind of neat.
That was pretty awesome.
There's a thing.
Where's the video for that?
Yeah.
Ronnie has it.
It's always running. You stood outside and filmed that for a little while. Did you get any blood?
I watched him from the kitchen.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. He was nailing the lizards right off the wall.
Don't try to make it overly exciting. We liked it from the beginning. But suddenly, if you had like a Canadian goose just on your porch, just massive, like the real ones. Holy cow. Or like some sort of bird that doesn't belong here. Now you're filming. Well, how did he get here? I see seagulls sometimes. And that, like, what? What are you doing over here?
A lot of action this week in the bird. You know, two mallard ducks that were floating in our pool for the first time. I don't know. I went out there.
Floating dead or swimming?
No, they're alive. They decided to take a swim in our pool.
Tony Soprano had that problem.
Yeah. I was looking around.
Yeah. For Tony Soprano?
No, I just remember that.
Now, that would have been exciting. Ducks and, you know, Tony Soprano are in the yard.
Looking over the fence.
Breaking out the thing. Otherwise, I'm just chucking chlorine tablets at the ducks. Get out of here, you piles of You make ducks comfortable. The next thing you know, what do you have? Duck all over your backyard.
Yep. They won't be back.
No. You got to get rid of those. That's an infestation. Yuck. Yeah. So be careful. People are watching you. You can't have that kind of stuff.
I'll remember.
Yeah. I already got an email from a guy that says, I'm huge. I'm getting that pool table. All right. Dude, it's still like a couple thousand pounds.
Sign the waiver.
Yeah, not ours.
Sign the waiver.
Not my deal. Yeah. I say don't. I say you shouldn't. I'd go out there and watch the idiots have their buttholes rosebud when they try to pick up a 2,000-pound table.
This belongs to me. Oh, I need an ambulance.
Brett, please look away and film.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Brett. And on the film say, we do not support this act at all. This is all on Prestige Billiards.
I can lift your pool table.
It's 2,000 pounds. Nobody can do this.
Unless, go ahead.
Unless that the mountain shows up. And even still, maybe.
I Thor, love Thor Bjornsson.
Yeah, yeah. That dude comes in, he's got his weight belt on.
Where is pool table?
It's over there.
Under his arm.
I get it. Yeah, hi.
Look, he's got it. He's putting it on a majestic bird. I don't know. Now film that.
I kind of want to see Meathead's face when Thor Bjornsson shows
Who
up.
Who is this Meathead? Where's my table?
You're tiny.
You're a little man. Help me put the cover on it.
You see Thor putting rocks on top of it. It's not heavy enough.
I need a workout.
So if you want to go try to lift, literally, I think they weigh about 1,800 pounds. You want to go try to lift that and put it in the back of your Saab. Go nuts. What are you going to do with it once you get it up? It's not like get it off the ground and win it. You got to move it.
Lifting one end is.
Yeah, you're saying there will be cars there that are lighter than this pool table.
Oh, there'll be dumb people going, I thought all I had to do was get it off the ground.
I got it outside.
Yeah, no, it's outside already. You got to get it up and into something and then drive away with it. It's yours. And then when you're home, now the real fun starts trying to get it off of whatever you put it on. And I don't know how it works. I don't know if you can bring teams. I don't know if like 13 or 14 guys, and you're all going to fight over it. Anyway, Kevin's new idea out at Prestige Billiards is questionable at best and not
ours. But lift it at your sale.
Yeah, it's the old catch it and keep it from George Carlin. A grand piano. Catch it and keep it. Prestige Billiards out there, Glenda. Go, I would go watch that. And Brett now has a front row seat to Butthole Rosebuds because that's what's going to happen. I'll tell you this. And this isn't my game, so it's just an idea. Brainstorming here. Spitballing. If you do Rosebud while you're trying to lift it, you can also have a pool table. How about that? I mean,
I don't want to know what you got to do to pool confirm
table.
That.
But, tabletop video if, game or...
No. Get a whole pool table because you know what? You got a Rosebud. I don't know how many people are going to go out there. Like Kevin's like, you got to tell them to stop like 8 Rosebuds. Like if you're... Nobody wants a Rosebud.
Bloop, bloop, bloop.
Yeah, if you got dudes bubbling up, look like they're blowing bubbles out their asses. I need an ambulance, but I get that pool table. We could try to put him out of business. But if you Rosebud while you try to lift it, Kevin will give you a pool table. It's in the fine print. I don't encourage that, but I will say if it does happen while you're trying to lift 2,000 pounds. And Kevin's like, and he even said that. He goes, I'll move it around so they know it's not rigged or like drilled to the ground. Because he can. I don't know how or why, but he can. He's got like all the...
He knows the angles.
He knows the angles. He knows the pressure points of a pool table to scooch it. I've seen him do it. It's weird. Anyway. And he's got this weird, skinny Mr. Robot kid that hangs out with him, some Russian refugee who can reprogram everything.
I don't know where his source is on that.
I meet
a new one every time.
Oh, yeah. I always tell him.
Like,
oh, yeah. He has
a new batch?
He works 20 hours a day, and he wants his assistant with him the whole time.
No one can keep up.
They all leave. They can't help it. The guy won't stop. He's a machine. So this kid's in there with him, and he's talking. I'm like, I don't know this accent. And he told me, and I forget where it was. But I have this game. It's like Golden Tee, only it's bowling. It's a blast. Well, the screen went goofy, and it doesn't work. So he comes by, and he goes, do you still have the schematics? Still have? You're assuming I had schematics for this game to begin with. Do you know the codes? Codes of what? No, I know how to roll the ball and make the bowling ball spin when the game works. All this matrix crap that's going on the screen, I have no idea. I need a hand manual, I need an honest manual, I need a working manual. And I'm like, I don't have that. And then he took something out of his pocket and he plugged it into the machine and he just stared like at the wall. Didn't even touch it. I'll have your machine fixed tomorrow. What's going on?
Half a nice day.
That's kind of what it was. I said, don't worry about it. Then I get a call. Do you have the schematics? I'm like, I'm never going to have those. I'm never, ever going to own the schematics. I need those. I don't know how to obtain them. I don't even know what this game's called. I'm going to have schematics. Also, 2 back entries to the airport. No.
No questions.
What is Old Tower Road and how fast can I get into Swift? No, I'm not telling you that. but they're out there, Prestige Billiards. It's one of the most fun business fronts I've ever seen in my life. There's no way it's just pool tables. They're running Russian oligarchs in and out of tunnels and stuff.
Shoot the glass.
Yeah, it's kind of one of the, it's definitely going to be Robin Bonnie Blair's bank, whatever her name was. Bonnie Bedelia. Prestige Billiards, 83rd Avenue in Glendale, or in Bell, I'm sorry, in Glendale, 83rd and Bell. Get on out there and say hi to Brett. He's going to have U-Fest tickets, which suddenly has become like a who cares. People trying to lift pool tables. Already the WNBA has shot itself in the foot with Caitlin Clark. Already they've pushed everyone to go, well, we don't even care if you like us. Oh, Christ. A reporter in Indianapolis welcoming the great Caitlin Clark to the Indiana Fever said, I want to do something for you in this press conference introducing her to the city. She's sitting in her podium, and he puts up the hand heart where you can take your fingers and make a little heart. She does that.
It's a popular gesture.
She does that all the time during games to her family. And he does it to her, and she goes, ah, you like that, huh? And he goes, I really do. I think it's great. And then she says, I do that for my family during the games. I'll look at them, and I'll give them one of those. And he goes, well, if you aim it at me, we're going to be good friends. And the room kind of goes, ha, 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 ha. They want his press credentials. How dare you? You misogynistic pig bastard coming on to her like that. You made it so creepy and gross. It's sexism at its best. I'm like, wait a second. The dude just said, I love you, baby. Thanks for being here. I
want to be in your family.
I would love for you to point that at me. And he said, I'm glad you're here. I'm really glad you're here. That's for sure. Because he's covering the Indiana Fever. This is not why he went to college. He didn't go to college to be an Indiana Fever beat writer, but he is one. So at least he's got something that's going to put him on the map. He finally sees a career path forward that is promising.
You just torched your coverage.
And he's like, I'm so happy you're here. That's basically all he said. I'm so happy you're here. Love, love, love. You're doing something for me that I didn't think would happen, which is relevance to this team I cover. Thank you. Love. Hearts up. The comments are from other WNBA people and everything. Get him out. Never allow him in a room with women again. He's not allowed to talk to us. Would you ever do that to Victor Wembanyama?
Wow.
Yes.
Yes.
The professionalism. Where was it? You're not supposed to be a super fan. He's the Indiana Fever beat writer. If he's not a super fan, who is? If that guy can't be a fan, no one can. I was in the press conference for the Steelers when they beat the Cardinals in the Super Bowl. I had press credentials. I sat in that room and raised my hand. I'm asking Mike Tomlin a question. I talked to Santonio Holmes, who's the MVP. Mike Tomlin's there. And I got up and I said, you realize you're more important to me than my own father now, right? I get to, like, you are the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers Super Bowl champions. You are now, it goes, Noel, Cower, Tomlin, my dad. And that's shaky ground at number four. Anybody can, almost Joe Madden took that spot over when the Cubs won the World Series in 16. Dad did his job, but I know him too well. And I got heat for that from the other press guys. You're not supposed to have fans in that room. And I'm like, I am
fan
one.
Question.
It was the Super
Someone
Bowl.
Woke up our
right. So Bob Kemp, who works down the hall, you know, all the professionalism I didn't show. These press guys are such dicks. All the professionalism I didn't show by asking the question and starting it with, you know, you're more important than my dad. I just want to let you know. I now love you, whether you like it or not. Awesome. Amazing. You were in
which he did laugh.
He didn't. He didn't react at all.
He just smiled.
No, that was a learning day for you. Yeah. You're dumb. If you have a question like that, you never ask it. And if you're thinking about it, you just fall asleep.
Right. Well, that was my point. Bob Kemp, who after all this professionalism, you can't have press guys start fanboying in the room. It's a professional setting. We go to college, journalists. You know, our own Bob Kemp was sound asleep in that same room. Sound asleep.
One of the most important press conferences.
Nobody wrote, the Cardinals lost to the Steelers in the Super Bowl. And he was there to interview the winning coach and talk, tell me what the Cardinals did. What was it that, talk about the opponent a little bit for me. Help me out. Nobody wrote an article about the sound asleep sports writer. In the room. No. Articles were written about me saying, I love you. But it never got to the point where people, because they'd never seen me before, people said it was cringy and gross and weird. I was a stan. I'm a super fan. I admit it. Take my credentials.
First thing you said.
This dude said, I am so glad you're here.
Thank you for giving, essentially what I read that as, thank you for giving relevance to this otherwise unknown, I didn't know Indiana had a WNBA team until a week ago. I didn't know, and I am not alone. Caitlin Clark has, hey, you ever heard of the Indiana Fever? There's a lot more people now that have. I didn't know they had a team. And I make fun of and pay attention to the WNBA a lot. And I learned last week Indiana has a team. I couldn't tell you if you asked me right now, have they always had a team or is this a brand new team?
And
I don't know.
I guessed maybe, and like if I, what state should have a team is Basketball Fever, Indiana. But I don't know.
I don't know who's got teams in the WNBA. I know the Mercury. I know the Sparks. I know a few of them. The Houston Comets, the first four-time world champion. They went out of business, but they had a team.
Because they were supposed to be tied to the NBA franchises, but the Connecticut Sun.
I don't know how it works.
But whatever.
I do know is I now know about the Indiana Fever, and I know Caitlin Clark's there. Dude who's been covering them is like, I'm so glad you're here. My job was to cover the Indiana Fever. You know how hard that's been? Kevin Ray, who's going to come in here later today, cut his chops broadcasting by doing WNBA games. Now, if you ask Kevin, he'll give you the proper answer because he's a good, decent person. Hey, it got me where I am now. And I'm like, right. You hated it, right? John, let's just order lunch. I'm like, he won't answer it because he shouldn't.
He's going to answer it today.
He's going to get drilled by these questions.
John, it's not WNBA, but are you going to fanboy out at the ASU press conference because your boy Hines Ward is there now?
People have emailed me and said Hines Ward is now the wide receiver coach for ASU. And the only thing I'm emailing back is, we will be friends. I want to be friends with Hines Ward. I want to show him around. I want to be his real estate agent. I want everything good to happen for Hines Ward while he's here. Yes, I will fanboy on that. And if I'm a member of the press, I'm going to wink and nod and go, I want to talk to you after this. And I might give him the love hands. Hey, by the way, Steeler fan through and through. And he'd laugh and I'd love hands. Glad you're here. So they act like you wouldn't say that to Victor Wembanyama. But you don't think the press in San Antonio was doing backflips when they got this new super phenom player? I bet you in that press conference somebody said something. Victor, so glad you're here.
What about the love that you're here. Will you marry me proposal every Super Bowl?
Well, I mean, that's not the press. That's different. I mean, you can have that. The press, it's not a press person that's doing that. Yeah, they're not talking about just general life. They're talking about this weird unwritten rule.
It's a stunt.
But this isn't a stunt. There's nothing a stunt about this. This is just a guy saying,
and
hey.
It was yours. Yours was an
No, it's authentic
question.
Love. Authentic sports love. And now they're making him a misogynist. He hates women. He hates women. This motherfucker took a job covering the Indiana Fever. If he hates women, that's on you during the interview process not to catch that. This dude doesn't hate women. He hates his life. He finally has a reason to feel viable and relevant, and you took it away from him. Did he hit on her and go, I'd really like to take you to dinner sometime? Now we've crossed the line. All he said was, I'm so glad you're here. If you point that heart thing at me, we're going to be great friends because you got a fan in me, essentially, is what I heard. It's like, thank God.
And you shattered that spineless jellyfish.
Yeah. I'm so happy you're here. And women jumped. Sexism, it's alive and well. Everyone should hate this man. And all they did was talk about stealing his credentials, which I tell you, sir, would be the best thing that's ever happened in your life. And his name is Greg Doyle. He said, first thing it seemed, and they even say it in the thing. He said, real quick, let me do this. Does the heart thing. She laughs. She goes, you like that? I like that you're here. I really like that you're here, he says. I do that to my family every game. It's pretty cool. All right, well, let's start doing it to me, and we'll get along just fine. First comment on the page. How dare you, sir? That woman deserves respect as an athlete. What did he do? You can't even talk to him. There's so many eggshells with the WNBA. Right. You can't even chat with him. It's not worth it. So, again,
pre-approved questions. What are we going to do?
I don't know. They took their number one super first time ever making the world interested in their product and made it uncomfortable for us.
It bothers me.
Idiots.
That he's lying more than anything. Just show the heart to me and we'll get along.
Right.
That's a lie.
You think? Why?
I don't think he's hitting on her.
He's not hitting on her. He's saying, thank you for bringing this relevance to my life. Thank you for allowing me to have a job that people will pay attention to. Thank you for making it so when I say I cover the Indiana Fever of the WNBA, the whole room doesn't do this.
I'm serious. I do. What do you? If a guy came in and said, "So what do you do for a living?" I cover the WNBA. What do you want to do? Would be our next question. What would you? What did you go to school for? Not that sports broadcast journalism. It's a foot in the door. It's nobody's end goal. Nobody's last stop is WNBA beat reporter. No. In Indianapolis, like you said, the heartland of basketball, the mecca. You'd rather college or cover high school games. You've got four incredible powerhouse colleges in Indiana. You've got the Pacers, and you are relegated to covering the Fever. I would have given Caitlin Clark a big heart, too. I might have given her like a Valentine's box of chocolates. Thank you for making it so I don't hang myself for at least another 4 months.
Guy's happy he's got a beat to go to for a while and a paycheck.
People are asking him, finally, Greg, what'd you find out from Caitlin? I tell you guys, this is the most attention I've ever gotten in my life. I finally feel like my 4 years at Purdue paid off.
But instead, he goes back to the office. Darryl!
Darryl, step in my office. Did you whip your dick out in front of Caitlin Clark? No. Well, the news seems to think you might have. I told her I'm glad she's here and I love her. Ah, God, no! You can't tell girl athletes you like them. They get mad about that. What can I tell them? And you can't tell them you don't like them. And you can't tell them you like them. You just ask her questions like, do you like Indianapolis? You know, stuff that makes people uninterested.
It's 4 o'clock. Go cover the field hockey.
It's this poor bastard. I mean, and I thought when I first read the story, I'm like, man, talk about making nothing out of something. It's everywhere now. Is that Greg?
Yeah.
He looks like Michael Stipe from REM.
Yep.
The poor bastard has been doing this forever. No, you know what? And also, if he's been doing it for like 20 plus years or however long he's been doing it, and this is the most egregious thing he's done, right, give the dude a little grace. He's done a pretty nice job of me not knowing who he is. He's been a professional for a long time. He apologized, which is the kill. He's done. He said he was sorry.
On this show, Gilbert Gottfried. Yeah. Never apologize.
He said he was sorry. Never apologize to a mob. That was Adam Carolla's best advice to me ever. Apologize to an individual if you feel like they deserve it. Never apologize to a mob. They're never right. A mob is a frenzy of thought and feeling, and it thinks it wants something in return to calm it down. But all you do every time you talk to the mob and try to defend yourself is fuel the mob. Never apologize to a mob. They'll never react with, all right, we've all calmed down. Nope, there's pitchforks and torches. They're hysterical. They've lost their minds. And it's all WNBA fans. You can't even let a guy say, I love this is going on here. I think it's great. And so what? Maybe he is attracted to her. He didn't come on to her. It could have been a lot worse.
That's his apology.
It says, Caitlin Clark, I'm so sorry. Today, I was part of the problem. See you, Greg. Pussy.
Part of the problem, the coverage, that's the whole thing.
Proper thing would to do is just idea. Leave it alone or yeah. Say...
Let it die.
I didn't do what you're accusing me of. Nothing I did was inappropriate. Nothing at all. If you're that fragile, by the way, if you're that fragile that somebody can't go, I'm so glad you're here, and throw a heart thing. If you give this to me, we're going to be great friends. This is awesome. Love me. I'm part of the media. Love me back, and I'll love you. This is going to be great. Too fragile to hear that without thinking, oh, I'm about to get raped. Then you're the problem. Caitlin Clark is a lot stronger than that.
I would hope so.
You would hope so.
She went on Saturday Night Live. You know she allowed Michael Che to make jokes about
right.
her.
Right. Doug Williams. How long have you been a black quarterback? A guy asked him.
She went on SNL.
Yeah. How long have you been a black quarterback is a question that Doug Williams got. Did he wilt on, oh, I'll never be the same. The whole league's ruined. The press hates. No. The dude that did it, you're like, that's the dumbest question that's ever been asked in the history of sports. You realize that. I don't know if that guy got fired. I don't even know who it was. He just became a joke. Like, everybody looked at him like, all right, you're an idiot. And we moved on because everybody was stronger back then. Everybody had a backbone to just go, that was dumb. And maybe he did something that made, but I didn't think Caitlin Clark was that upset.
That didn't come out right.
Michael Che on the SNL says, you know, Caitlin Clark's number was retired, or jersey was retired at Iowa and immediately replaced with an apron.
Right. Yeah. It's funny. It's a funny joke. And you can be that when you're a comedian and everything right. else. Man, oh man, the fragility of it all. I didn't like how that guy liked me too much in my new hometown of fans that I'm trying to win over. Huh? Do you hear what you're saying? Yeah, I didn't like that the press was a little too, you know, likey-likey. I like a press that's kind of like walking a thin line of whether they like me or not. I like to keep it gray. WNBA shooting itself in the foot for 27 solid years. Well done. Idiot. And now, of course, it's going to be the Colin Cowards of the world and everybody else that'll just say misogyny's alive. The Captain Save-A-Hose that run around. You can't treat women like this. I'm like, what did he? We're going to turn it into like he treated her poorly. It was creepy. Get over it. How about just, maybe it wasn't the best question. Give the guy a break. He's been at it for a long time. I don't think he did anything wrong.
We'll have a great relationship like the other fans now. Put us in your family.
Oh, let me be part of that family. Give me one of these and we're going to be just fine. I think that guy's got a heart on. I'm pretty sure I'm going to tell everybody about it now, and I'm going to ruin his life over what is just probably one of the safest ways to be attacked in the world. A guy likes me too much without, like, being a stalker. Basically said, thank you. You're awesome. That's a little far, don't you think, calling me awesome? I think you're awesome. Now, if he was in her window at her hotel doing the little heart thing and pounding on it, it's a crime. He was happy to see her, and they said, don't. They're idiots. That's that boy, the Coyotes roll their eyes at how poorly run the WNBA is. It's just a joke.
Hold my beer.
Yeah, the Coyotes are like, yeah, we've been pretty badly run for 28 years. Oh, we're the WNBA. Watch this. Yeah, we haven't done anything right for almost 3 decades. We're going to move to Salt Lake City. That's nothing. We're going to piss off people who like us.
Wasn't like he threw a shoe at her at a press conference.
Did he go Saddam?
Yeah.
You bitch. Oof. I hate women. I cover them. Yuck. The guy could be the furthest thing from a misogynist. How do you think? I mean, I would think that if you wanted to cover the WNBA and did it for a long time, you would eventually hate women. Thing would make you hate women. He likes women so much, he goes to WNBA games for his job. For Christ's sake, this guy's a hero. He's basically Susan B. Anthony with a dick.
John, I would say boycott the WNBA, but don't think anyone would know.
They've already done that. It's been kind of an unwritten and unspoken bond between all of society and the WNBA that it's been boycotted.
It's people caught.
Yeah. They have to do something.
Couldn't she have helped out a bro and said that she wasn't offended?
Absolutely. Because I don't know that she even thought the room laughed a little bit. It got a little weird. No big deal. And then after, when she sees all the uproar, goes, "Oh no, that guy didn't do it. What are you guys doing? That guy didn't do anything wrong. He just said he likes me. We're good." And maybe inside, like what they did to me when I said Mike Tomlin should be my dad, they wrote little articles saying the professionalism of the journalists. We have to be better about that. And all I said back, and I think I shut it down because I got interviewed. That was how bad that was. Mm-hmm. Other press guys, well, we'd like to talk to you. And I'm in the lobby at this convention center in Tampa. I'm like, for what? Like, well, we want to talk to you about what you said to Mike Tomlin. I'm like, okay. What do you think it was? I'm like, there was a guy asleep. One of your guys that was I worked with him. So
haunted guys.
One of the people that kept
the hallowed halls.
The standard so high and the torch so lit was sleeping during the press conference. I was talking to him. And then it kind of died. But there were two articles because Vince Murata came to me and goes, "You're making some noise." I'm like, "What did I do?" I didn't even know he did anything. What did I do? And he goes, "You're not allowed to like be a fan of stuff. You were on the NFL Network asking that question." I'm like, "Yeah, and?" "You're not allowed to do that." I'm like, there was a dude asleep in the room. Did the NFL Network grab that on the camera?
And they go, reality and some levity to it.
I saw it too, and I realized that that man was sleeping. I'm like, all right, so back off. The professionalism died the second one of your crew slept and nobody said a word.
John, I know you're not a fan, but I'd take Caitlin Clark over Bronny James.
In what way?
I don't know.
Because now that's creepy. That guy should lose his press pass.
He didn't specify.
In the NBA? Or at LA Fitness?
Bronny better looking?
You're an idiot.
On the pickup court?
You're a moron. I'm not a big fan of LeBron James' personality, but the dude had 17 assists. He's 39 years old. I'm taking LeBron James. 1,000 times out of 1,000 times.
John, my bigotry just peaked up because I looked up the press conference. I watched it. I don't know if you listened to how he asked the question, but his hillbilly accent makes it sound a lot weirder than you're making it sound. The hillbilly accent can make anything sound creepy, though.
I agree that maybe he's a creep, but this wasn't that bad. But I'm from Indiana, so when I hear, I'm just happy to see you, like, that's just family being happy to see you.
You give me that gesture.
Yeah.
You start pumping that heart towards me, I'll start pumping something at you.
This guy basically boils down what you're saying.
Yeah. I thought those bitches wanted guys to like their crappy sport. This isn't going to accomplish that.
Yep.
That was a very succinct way to put that. Thank you. You write like a poet. Thought those bitches wanted us to like their sport. Nah, well, that just got canceled. And I don't blame Caitlin Clark because I don't think she was the one that stirred it up. But man, oh man, the comments and the call for his job. Come on. Everybody, take a step back. Is Caitlin okay? Okay. Then we're all okay.
We can't have this. Next thing you know, he's going to bring her flowers and take her to dinner and treat her nice.
Huh?
We can't have it.
What the f*** am I missing here?
This guy. It's the only good coverage they're thinking they're getting. Anything controversial, we want to happen.
They don't.
Because they don't want to see highlights.
They don't know what it is. They just don't know. Yeah, we don't want to watch any of your games. This is the best WNBA clip I've seen in years. You remember in your All-Star game, WNBA, when they had to re-tip it because the team that got the tip ran the wrong direction? I mean, come on.
John, just one of the million ironies in all this hysteria is the same herd of liber-Nazis is crowing for inclusion, giving men who identify as women to compete in female sports. Yeah. I can't effing wait for 6'8", 245-pound Andrea
it's coming.
From Uzbekistan to make it to the WNBA.
It's coming.
How could they say no?
They can't. They can't. They've cannibalized their own. I can't wait. Anyway. I never thought I'd say it, but to that beat writer of the WNBA in Indianapolis, you still got one friend left, player. One brother left, Trey.
Thanks, Doe.
I am your Doughboy. I'm there for you. I got your back, Greg Doyle. Except for you apologize, so I'm stepping away from you now because you're a pussy.
So what, do they snatch his WNBA credentials?
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh.
Let me tell you this. I'm surprised more often WNBA beat writers don't go up and go, "Hi, John Holmberg with the WNBA Times. Can I see your real quick?" And they're like, "Get his credentials." I'm like, finally, I don't have to do this anymore. Good. I would try so hard to get fired. And then I go work at Home Depot or whatever, because you're probably making
More than Caitlin.
What you're pulling down as the WNBA Fever writer. But you can get a better job, you know, as a school janitor, I'm guessing. Not worth it. Greg Doyle, if that's your name. Isn't Greg Doyle? Isn't Doyle Rose?
O'Doyle.
Yeah, O'Doyle, that's right. Might be the same dude. It's crazy. We're so soft. We're so fragile. The guy might lose his job. The apology, I would assume, he's going to get kicked off the beat. He's not going to be the WNBA Fever writer anymore. That's their move. Get him out of here.
That doesn't show.
You want your 10-5 a year or not? Yeah.
What next? He's going to put her in a house and treat her like a lady and give her a nice family and love her and treat her great? You sons of bitches!
What? He was nice to her? Too nice to her?
So John,
too nice!
What you're saying is they want Jim Cross to be their reporter?
Yeah. Caitlin, welcome to Indianapolis. Okay. Anyway, are you going to score 40 points a night or what? What the? Anyway, go yourself. Jim Cross, KHAR.
It's 3 a.m. Let's go out to the press conference.
Jim Cross standing outside Caitlin Clark's house right now, giving her the heart pump sign and I'm trying to get fired from this job. Hey, Caitlin, go yourself. Jim Cross, KHAR. Yeah, I don't know what they want, but this is ridiculous. And the world is stupid now. He didn't have credentials, John, to be fair. He just stapled the CVS receipt to his chest and they let him in. That's true. They're not going to check him. They can't assume someone's trying to break into the press conference for the WNBA. You can get in there with a...
Anybody who has any logo gear on.
If you have a U-Fest lanyard, they'd have assumed, well, nobody's trying to get into this. Why would we put security up to this? It's like trying to break into jail.
They're making it really quick because it was in the entrance of a Walmart. Let's get this thing over real quick.
She cut the ribbon and then they moved on. Thanks, Caitlin. Off you go. A lot of happy face deals happening inside. Let's move you on. Fever jerseys.
$2.
Anyway. Sometimes I just hate the world a little bit. It's not helping that this poor bastard's probably... let's do an over-under. Let's do today's FanDuel bet on how fast he gets fired from wherever he works. Think it's today? I think it'll be by Monday. Or suspended. He's going to get suspended. How long is a suspension? Couple weeks.
He'll get banned from covering the WNBA.
You think?
Ooh. No.
worst penalty ever.
Don't do that. Just say, oh, I'm so...
Wait a minute. Let me get this straight, boss. I'm not allowed to go to any more WNBA games or I get yelled at. You just try and keep me out.
We showed him.
That's right. We took away all those tickets at WNBA games. Now, he can't even go to Fry's and buy some gum and a 12-pack of soda and get a free ticket to the game across the street. For spending more than $10 at Fry's.
These people don't get tickets with their purchase. Pictures up on the front.
It's everywhere. Like the old checked cash thing. Do not give Greg Doyle the free $10 plus ticket giveaway thingy.
I'm sorry, sir. You're on the grid.
He's wearing a Groucho mask and the mustache. Just some gum and some soda pop.
Wait a minute.
With $10, over $10, you get a ticket to an Indian. Wait a tick. You're Greg Doyle.
No, I'm not. My name's Larry Doyle.
Damn it. Anyway, wouldn't it be, you know what would be great? Now, this is really dark. Is if they did suspend him, and it turns out it was his dream to cover the WNBA, and they find old Greg dangling from a rafter in a couple of days because he took his life away.
Old Greg Doyle.
Old Greg Doyle hanging from a... the air conditioner's pushing around. One of those fans. It's Indiana. They got window fans. Greg Doyle found hung today with a note that said, I didn't mean anything by it. Have we overreacted as a society to a man being nice to a woman?
Found in the Hickory basketball house.
Yeah.
From Hoosiers, the original school.
He's in there with a picture of Gene Hackman on his chest. I did it for you, coach. Just swinging back and forth. All purple from the neck up. The rest of his body's just drained of blood. Maybe we overreacted a little. He wasn't. All he was saying was he liked her.
Jim Cross live from the Fever Dome.
Jim Cross standing outside a dead reporter's house. Way to go, society. You made him feel so bad. You took his. He's the only man in the world with a dream of cover in the WNBA, and you killed it. And then he killed himself. Go f*** yourself. Jim Cross, KTAR.
Hey, John, just tell that reporter to hold up his $25 fries receipt.
He'll have that's it. That's what I just said. Follow
is
along.
It? Oh, sorry. Yeah. Just
for Christ's sake. The joke blanket thrown over it.
Sorry.
Anyway.
Responding to other
yeah, it's crazy. So go get him, WNBA. The Rook versus the Goat coming your way. Don't say anything nice to him. They get mad at that. What do you got on the big board of musical treats over there?
All right, brought to you by our friends at Action Ride Shop on the corner of Gilbert Road and Southern in Mesa. They've got spring specials going on. I'm not sure what they are. Brett knows them, but he's not here.
Oh, I know them.
All right.
Awesome. They'll give you, you go in there and get a service and stuff like that. They'll start doing your tires for you.
Mention KUPD and you'll get.
And also mention Josh's birthday and he'll give you a percentage off.
Is it his month? No.
No.
All right.
But somebody has a birthday at all times. Just mention, hey, didn't you have a birthday recently?
Birthday.
And he'll say October. And it's like, that wasn't that long ago. And they'll be like, I'll give you 10% off.
See, what's the birthday special?
Yeah. Somebody's birthday in the building. Maybe it's Brian. Maybe somebody down there's having a birthday. And you can milk a percentage off.
Atreyu falling down for our WNBA players. AC/DC, Who Made Who for the Coyotes leaving town. Offspring, You're Gonna Go Far, Kid for Caitlin Clark. Chevelle, Self-Destructor. People are mentioning Matthew McConaughey. Does something happen with him?
I don't know.
A couple of songs for him. I haven't heard anything about that. Stand Up and Shout by Steel Dragon. Right Said Fred, I'm Too Sexy for Doug Hopkins' birthday.
There you go. How about that? Well, actually, we should play Bodies for Doug Hopkins' birthday because every year at the Night of the Singing Dead, Doug joins us on stage to do whatever that thing his body does when Bodies plays. I think it's dancing. Also, maybe a strong seizure.
Also, it's like he was touched by Benny Hinn.
Yeah,
it's convulsing.
It's evangelists curing a guy of baldness, I think, and his body's reacting. It's definitely not normal movement. But he gets up there with us for Bodies, so we'll do a little Bodies there for Doug. Drowning Pool. Happy birthday, TV's Doug Hopkins. You're my favorite.
Arizona's most powerful, powerful rock radio station.
UPD. You thought that was funny.
Holmberg's morning sickness.
You were laughing like a hyena when he said it.
98.
What the hell is wrong with you?
UPD.
We got Brett out there this morning because he wanted to give you guys tickets. We got U-Fest tickets with Brett at a ticket drop out at Prestige Billiards. And that was originally supposed to be the intent of this thing, but it has turned into something wildly different. Brett's out at 83rd Avenue and Bell Road at Prestige Billiards. And Meathead, the guy who owns the place, has decided he's going to change the game on it. Now, Brett, I also got an email from a guy named Travis who said, I was just out at the Prestige Billiards store in Glendale. Yeah. And you dropped the ball. He said, there's no merchandise on the west side, but somehow that feels like more than we deserve here in the avenues with Brett coming by. So you not bringing them any T-shirts, which is, I guess, what they needed, new clothes, he's okay with. He said, also, Brett was away from the tent for a while. He wasn't here while everyone else was. My guess is he was hiding the
had
body.
At work.
No. I was inside. I was in Prestige checking out the pool tables and stuff. I was here.
Did Meathead move the table out?
It's crazy because he's got them stacked like three high in this place. I'm like, how do you get those up there? He goes, oh, I just lift them up there. I'm like, what? Out of your mind? What's wrong with you?
Is he playing the move it and you can have it game?
He is. He's about to pull the slates out of the van right now.
Oh, he's going to build it right there.
Well, he's building one right as I'm sitting. You want to talk to him?
Yeah, get me Meathead.
All right.
What's he doing? Oh.
I don't know. Here, hang on.
All right. Kevin.
Hey, hello.
Hi, Meathead. How are you?
The man.
The man, the myth, the legend.
Yeah, okay. So you text me and you said, I should, there's that thing. There, I should have it so if people can just pick it up and take it, they can have it. Are we still doing that?
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out, like, if I should have ER on call.
Paramedics.
Or
yeah, paramedics.
You can have the emergency room. How about this? You just stack up all it takes to build a pool table into a bundle right there, and then have them try to lift it all in one thing.
Well, I was thinking that just with the slate, because that's 600 pounds. Yeah. And then if we add any of the wood, you know, it's just another 200 pounds, 300 pounds, and then, you know, 950, 1,000 pounds, then, you know, we're talking like injury.
You think?
Where did you come to that conclusion?
So you added up. Let's see. Look, I can get 600 plus 250 plus another 3. That's injury.
This is an injury. This is going to be great.
I learned from my daughter. She says she teaches me math, right?
Yeah. Better than you, at least.
That equals injury, Daddy. That equals we won't eat anymore. That equals lawsuits. Daddy, you're redlining.
So how about this? Like, if you can lift, if you can lift up the slate,
that's 600 pounds.
You clean and jerk that.
I think you'd be giving away some slates today.
I don't know. You get the whole thing up and move it into your truck.
Oh,
that's what I'm saying. Not just get it off the ground.
That's 4 feet, though. You know, that's another math equation that you're breaking my brain this morning.
That's 48 inches.
That's a lot.
Yes. Yeah, so if you can get it up 4 feet, 600 pounds, one person, you're pretty up the standards. I should hire them, actually.
You should raise them.
And if you're looking for work.
Yeah.
Interview.
Yeah. You get some.
No, this is going to turn into a plus for me because then I get job applicants and, you know, people to the store. And
it's perfect.
Know,
yeah. People are going to start showing up. But if you figure it out. Maybe some really intriguing injuries. If you have a rosebud in your parking lot, who else in that strip mall has ever created a rosebud for one of their customers?
Yeah, it's questionable because there's some big stores in this place. So
you think just purely on volume, there could have been a rosebud or two over at the Ross. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Meathead, if you can lift it, you can have it. You're setting it up. This is your contest. KUPD would like to dismiss itself as far as it can from this potential lawsuit in waiting, but if somebody may be literally walking away with a pool table today. How about that?
Should I have an NDA on this? Like, you know,
Not a non-disclosure where we don't talk about it, but just a thing where
a release.
A release form that gets you.
Yeah,
out of
release.
It. Yeah.
Okay.
But I like that. Steal a pool table and you can have it.
That's not a good business opportunity for me, right?
You think two people could lift a pool table into a truck?
What kind of two people are we talking about? Are you talking about
you and the crippled you Kevin? What Russian do you think help. I'm talking about?
If they're like John Cena style, I think you're good. But if you're Apache Junction, questionable.
So an Apache Junction homosexual could not do this. Yeah. Kevin, before you lose your business,
guys are lighting the load.
Yeah, and you guys, you could do, you know, might watch a dude walk away for a little too long. I don't think you can lift the tail. all right, you set up whatever it is you set up. Give the phone back to Brett before you get sued.
Yes, sir. All right, thank you.
Kevin out there at Prestige Billiards. He's running the place, and I don't know what he's doing, but he's successful at it.
All right.
All right, Brett, you've got UFest tickets. Nothing else matters right now than the lift it and keep it game he's playing with thousands of pounds of equipment.
This is ridiculous. I got nothing to do with this. All right? This is all on him. I'm not doing nothing.
Good news is, when a dude gets crushed by a pool table, at least you're there to help him hide the body. So we're in good shape all the way around.
He's
covered.
That's
true.
All the bases are covered. Head on out to Prestige.
It's the west side, just right here on the curb. We're fine.
Yeah, you leave him out like the bulk pickup.
Yeah, Bell
Road and 83rd Avenue this morning out of Prestige Billiards. If you want to head out there, Brett's got all sorts of stuff for you. And Kevin is trying to take care of you with a free pool table that could leave today. And if you ever get anybody doing that, you get that film rolling. We're posting those videos. I'm not big on social media, but I got to see this.
It's going to be Rosebud Central, I'm telling you. These things are ridiculously heavy. No way.
Rosebud Central, great band name. All right, we'll talk to you later, Brett. Nice job. There you go. Brett's out there at Prestige Billiards this morning. Given back to you guys, although evidently our promo crew brought nothing for you. You can sign up for UFest tickets. Brett's going to be giving you UFest tickets. The big UFest ticket drop and potentially a pool table will walk itself right out of the building. How great is that deal right there? Simple as it gets. Busy morning. Got Doug Hopkins money to give away in a little bit. Kevin Ray's going to join us a little later this morning. We'll tell you the Doug Hopkins thing this morning. But right now, we got to get all the news that only Brady knows. We call this the Brady Report, and it's brought to you by our friends at Hooters. How about some Hooters for lunch today? Every Monday through Friday, 11 to 2 o'clock, $2 off any 10-piece wings, fish and chips and salad. And you can't make it for lunch? Well, then come on down for happy hour Monday through Friday, 3 to 6. So they only take an hour off to clean up between the lunch specials and the happy hour specials. It's always good. It's always great, in fact, down at Hooters. Thank you for this incredible Brady Report. Before you do it, somebody just said, what if I brought a forklift? No. It has to be man-operated. Amish lifting. No. Yeah. If you get no apparatus.
No, my buddy's called forklift.
Yeah. If you got a dude called forklift, scooch his hands under and lift him up. Let's see what you got. Rosebuds. Brady reported.
Good Thursday morning to you, Phoenix. Hello, world.
Hi.
Happy National High Five Day.
High five.
Dusty Baker and Glenn Burke get credit for it.
I tell the story all the time.
1977. For the Doyers.
Glenn Burke, also the first homosexual baseball player that we know about.
And he invented the high five with Dusty Baker after they went back to back with home runs. Dusty hit his 30th of the year. And, or was it Dusty or Glenn hit his first of the season, rounding third, lifting his hand in the air where Dusty smacked his gay, dirty hand away from his, creating the now known high five.
It's also National Pinata Day, so take a stick and whack a friend.
That's right. Not the invention of the pinata. Just I was at the gas station on 16th Street in Glendale the other day, and for no reason at all, it was the most culturally...
Careful.
I want to use a good word. Like, as a white guy watching this, it's like, come on, you guys. I can see you. Mexican family pulls up with a pinata in the back of their pickup truck. And another Mexican lady in another car runs over and goes, where did you get that? And I'm like, all right, guys, come on. White guy just saw that. You can't show that kind of excitement for pinatas in front of me. It adds to the stereotype. I mean, she literally got out of her car and ran over like, holy cow, pinata. Where are you going and where did you get that? You don't know where to get a pinata?
You don't think it was a publicity stunt?
To sell pinatas to bald white guys?
Like you don't know, lady.
Well, that's what I thought. I thought, how in the world have you gotten this far, this excited about pinatas in the culture you're from and not know where to get them? Me? I have no idea where to buy a pinata. It's a neighborhood I probably don't want to be in. I remember they used to sell them in Guadalupe sometimes, but I'd had to stop my car, and that's just flat ridiculous. I wasn't stopping my car in Guadalupe unless I was behind the gates.
Yeah, there's a couple of... I know my neighbor is always big on that, and she has one store.
Pinatas?
Yeah, for the kids' birthdays.
Oh. See, I think that's cultural appropriation. Let white kids do it. Come up with your own.
I think it's an all skate.
No, pinatas are not. Nope. That's no. You get in trouble if you dressed people up in dashikis and had some sort of like goat roast or something.
What about pin the tail on the burro?
If you called it a burro, we changed it to donkey. It becomes white with donkey. If you started the burro thing, I'd have questions. Pinatas aren't a white kid thing. It's appropriation. Dressing them up as little matadors and stuff, that's just not right. Come up with your own white guy idea.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
And I wouldn't be surprised
Don't
if that happens.
Don't stop at the dressing them up as little matadors.
Yeah,
come
that's
on.
Little baby bulls.
Come on now.
Yeah, if you're going to do the matador
Brady
party for your white
Brady kids. Was looking for miniature Hereford yeah. cows or whatever.
Bulls. Little baby bulls.
They could be picadors for the
And then they
pinata.
Kill it and roast it.
Come on. At a four-year-old yeah, birthday party? Come on.
I'd watch it. But it isn't right.
Why can't
you just
right.
do the white version where it's just little babies fending off bulls?
Peter Piper has that every day.
You don't need the hat.
You're not going to get that anymore.
You don't need
else.
The hat. Just do it as white kids fending off bulls. You don't need the hat.
We could do the mini Fredo's Bull-O-Rama.
American Poker.
Yeah.
We have the kids
sitting
at a table.
The kids sitting at a table, and then a bull.
A little baby bull.
Trounces the four-year-olds.
We met with the PBR people yesterday. They're going to put our listeners in one of the, they call it the shark cage in the middle of the arena.
And they just bang into it?
I think potentially.
It's safe.
They're Maybe you have to jump there. Into the cage to be safe. Like you go out.
Oh, you're
and
adding
it.
Wrinkles. Okay.
No,
keep going.
That's not what it is.
You thought, Darn it. You thought Kevin had to have yeah. a big NDA.
No, they,
NDA. Let's, you can't talk
don't
about
talk
this.
About how your ass fell out at my store. Or you got to pay me. Yeah, pinatas are, that's cultural appropriation when white mothers get pinatas for their little white kids. And it's to celebrate, especially if it's like a Mexican kid's birthday and you're having it at your house. Because your maid asked,
I don't think,
can we have my kid's birthday at your house?
They care. I don't think they care.
Who?
Whoever's selling the pinatas.
Oh, they don't care.
That's revenue.
But
baby.
When you have it. Because that's how it would happen. One of those Gilbert moms, her maid says, excuse me, miss, can we have my son's birthday party at your beautiful home?
Rosalina.
I'll give you a free week of cleaning.
Sure, and I'll buy a pinata if I can invite my own friends.
And then they have white kids hitting the
Thanks,
pinata.
Thanks, Miss Tui.
Yeah, Leanne Tui. That's who would do that.
I'll take your little Savage Brown and I'll buy him a pinata.
Couple
Does
of
he speak English? Will we be eating tortillas? We'll make tortillas and beans and such.
Guy says, John, I don't want to get you started, but did you know about this? Pinatas these days are rarely made to be hit. They actually are making them with pull strings now because the little bastard kids don't know how to hit it with a stick, so they go up and pull the string and get all the candy out.
And also it's too dangerous.
Oh, like they pop the bottom out of it?
Yeah, so they blindfold them and then make them reach for a tampon string?
That's what
Well,
you teach them young.
The parties I've been to in the last, I've seen a couple of kids line up hitting the pinata. They end up breaking them, but it
right,
takes a while.
Because you're in Gilbert, where they culturally appropriate pinatas.
They know how to swing, but the little league.
Right. I guarantee there are no Mexican
there.
Kids
They're
at those parties.
Yeah,
that's how the goons got started. Swinging bats at pinatas at white kids.
Good one, Talon.
Yeah.
A couple of basis fun facts. Americans throw away up to 68 million in coins every year.
Throw away. Wow.
Sour Patch Kids were originally called Mars Men. They changed the name in the early 80s to capitalize on the popularity of the Cabbage Patch Kids.
Huh.
I kind of knew a little bit of this one. NBC split itself into two radio networks in the 1920s and 30s. Red for more expensive shows and blue for the cheaper ones. The FCC made them divide into separate companies in 1939 as TV was taking shape. The blue became ABC.
Yep. Split off.
St. Louis, we got an 8-year-old. He was found driving a car in downtown St. Louis on Monday while his mother slept in the back seat with a younger child. Yes, she and the other younger sister or brother were taking a nap.
Big as a back seat, get a couple
Pretty
people sleeping.
Pretty good for the 8-year-old to be able to operate the vehicle.
Well, they caught her.
How the other?
No, it's not that good a job if the 8-year-old got caught. The good job is when
Everything
the 8-year-old actually gets you home.
Pretty well until he started driving the wrong direction.
Yep, not very good. It's easy to operate the vehicle.
He was on the road for 2 hours. No, he wasn't. Yep.
the real stories come from 8-year-olds who got you home. The failures are really shine a light on us not letting the kids drive.
We've got a woman in Ohio.
O-H!
Was robbed by a person claiming to be Aaron Rodgers.
Actually, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, come on.
Aaron's lost it a little bit.
They met on a messaging app called Viber. She and Aaron talked for a couple of months. She was confident it was him because the profile picture had a photo of Aaron Rodgers wearing a Green Bay Packers jersey. Or sure. A hat.
Those are hard to come by.
Just the hat. And she said he talked about himself personally. So she was sure it was legit. So she gave him her driver's license information.
Huh?
She gave him her driver's license
I gotcha.
Information and her social security number and bank account details. If you're wondering why Aaron would need this random Ohio woman's bank accounts, he said things like, I'll send you 10 grand to help you move out of your apartment.
God. Yeah.
But first you need to send me $800 to my lawyer's wife.
Yeah, I think Brady said it best the other day. If your new friend online, no matter who it is, asks for money and you haven't seen them in person, don't give it to them.
How are people still falling for this crap?
It's the dreamland of the internet, thinking that the world's going to eventually make you famous, so you get to hobnob with the famous. So your want to be famous makes you feel like everybody who talks to you is famous is real. By the way, people say that pull-string piñatas are called gringo piñatas in and amongst the Mexican community.
Hold on. This guy said basically the same thing, but a little spicier.
He's Mexican. It says, piñatas with a pull-string are called honky ones. The spice without an E ones are called sold at them little Mexican cochinas. That was for all the Mexicans listening. I didn't understand almost any of that.
The police are investigating this case, and they told her to basically block Aaron on all social media, freeze all of her accounts, change her passwords, monitor her credit.
God damn it, Aaron Rodgers.
It's not clear how much money she's lost, but we know for sure that $800 out, but she says, I'm not going to worry about it because Patrick Mahomes told me he would cover the loss.
Is that real?
No.
Okay, that was your little joke at the end. I liked it. But I had to ask, because you're not sure, since that's stupid.
There's a woman in Brazil who's facing serious charges after she wheeled her very dead uncle into a bank, Weekend at Bernie style.
Oh, did you see this?
I did. I saw the video.
Tried to take out a $3,400 loan in his name. The bank teller got it on video. The man was clearly no longer with us, but the niece kept talking to him like he was alive. And
she grabbed his hand to sign stuff.
Yeah, to sign the paperwork. She even held his head up.
Yeah.
The teller said the skin tone looked off and
gray,
oddly quiet.
Yeah. No breathing is a big indicator, too. I mean, the pictures
are... Claimed he's just like that, and he doesn't say much.
Right, because
he's
pretty
laid back. He doesn't like being out in the sun.
Click that video right there. Look at this. Oh, yeah, right there. You keep passing it. Go up. By the way, there. Isn't that the video? That's where it was on my phone.
Just a picture.
My phone had the video where she holds his hand and starts working the...
Could be further down.
Unless it's here after the ad.
I don't know, but it's weird, and... I don't know why or how she thought. Maybe she's gotten away with it before. You got to get on that pretty quick.
Because I remember that one. I think it was here in the States.
The video. How about that? I mean, this dude is clearly dead. His head is like, there's no muscle. There's nothing. And she is just his head bobbing all over the place. Oh. I mean, it is weird. I don't know what they're saying in Portuguese, but it ain't good. Here, sign it. He's holding his dead hand. There's nothing there.
Oh, my God.
You haven't seen this yet?
No.
Yeah, I got this. I think this happened like Sunday night. I started getting this one. I'm
like, look how calm the people are in the back. I mean, I get it that you maybe don't know that he's dead, but I mean.
Well, you don't want to make the assumption that someone struck a dead body, and you just feel bad for the guy.
She smiles.
She smiles. This is crazy.
Does she at least go, oh, look at that, and have him look away and then try to sign it real quick?
How much was the loan? A couple grand, right?
$3,400.
Yeah.
Is she doing the Edgar Bergen? Was she providing the voice?
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and call someone. At the worst case here, we've got someone who needs medical attention, but I'm pretty sure it's too late. I like that the bank lady in Brazil has a body cam.
Yeah.
That's how bad banks are in Brazil. They've got chest cameras.
These are the ones you love. This lady in Genesee County, Michigan, went to a tarot card reader. Got a reading.
Smart already.
The lady told her she was going to come into some money very soon. She played the 50-time wild scratch-off lottery ticket in Michigan, won $500,000.
Nice. That's pretty great.
She sent me the information on the tarot card reader because I'm sure she could get a lot of business right now. You're not going to come into money.
Don't worry about it.
Oh, my gosh, you're so right.
I feel bad for people who open the door. You just do that thing at the... Is this the tarot card place? Of course it is. Sit down.
I've been waiting for you.
And if I was a tarot card reader, I'd throw out the cards and it'd be like, oh, you're at rock bottom. And I'd say it to everybody who's in there, because if you go to a tarot card reading, you're at rock bottom. You have run out of options on how to fix lives. You need a deck of cards.
I just won the Powerball, the 1.2 bill.
You're right. Why are you here? I don't know. Having a little fun on the side, I guess.
Ooh, this card here is going to say you're going to lose a lot of money.
Your life's not working out, is it?
How do you... You're just... You see... It's all so clear.
Yeah, otherwise you wouldn't be at a tarot card reading.
There's a new restaurant in Italy. It's trying something cool. They're giving diners a free bottle of wine if you give up your phone when you come in. They put it in a little box that's even locked with a key. And when you leave, you get it back. Hmm. It's in Verona, Italy. It's called Al Condominio.
Huh?
Al Condominio.
Nailed it.
Okay.
They said they wanted to make kind of something new that they thought would be a fun way to encourage diners to be more present with their companions. And you don't have to give it up to the restaurant. It's optional.
It's optional, but it's a nice option.
If you do it, you get that bottle of wine. It says, we're not having too many people holding on to their phones at dinner.
It's sad that you have to get paid to not to have your phone to talk to the person you went to dinner with. I don't want that. What if I want to play some backgammon in the middle of our meal? I got a new game I've been playing.
New Wordle out.
There's a cool Wordle, and also I haven't figured out today's Wordle. And then this new Candy Crush has got my eyes spinning. So if the conversation goes south, I'm just going to look down. Plus, sometimes she says some real outlandish I have to back it up. I have to check it out.
I have to research it.
I don't know if that's true. Dr. Fauci didn't invent AIDS, Aaron Rodgers. Let me go. You're a moron. Let me research that and have an opinion real quick. And I'll come back to you as a know-it-all, because I just read the information I had no idea about 2 seconds ago. Yeah, I think it should be mandatory. I think women should put that foot down. But you're just as bad as we are. Is if somebody takes you to dinner, and they pick up their phone, dinner's over.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that should be it. Unless it's an emergency phone call, there should be no reason for that guy to question what you just said and look up. I'm going to look up what you just said. I'm going to research your... I think you're full of shit. All right, well, then we don't need to talk anymore, because I was just having a conversation with you. I didn't know I was being interrogated. I think women should be stricter about a dude texting or being on the phone at dinner. I think, you know, women get away with a lot more than men when it comes to that, but I think that should be like he was on the phone the whole time. We should want to do it, gentlemen. If the bar has been set so low that all you have to do is pay attention to her.
You should win that battle every time.
Yeah, it shouldn't be tough to woo a woman. By going woo woo woo,
and women just don't bore us,
right? Tell better stories. On the flip side, you've got all of humanity's information. The history of man is in your hand. Look something up and have a good story, for God's sakes. Are we ready?
Yeah, 8:04.
All right, it's, Brady. I have to interrupt you, and it's time now for the Doug Hopkins Price Super Guaranteed Giveaway Game.
Birthday boy,
Doug Hopkins. Who just sent me a picture of him laying in bed to start his birthday. Well, that ain't pretty. But
is it hot?
Look at the hair on that guy.
That's not him.
That's Doug. Look at all that.
Who is that new guy?
I don't know what he's saying. Probably he called me an asshole before, so. Oh, he's singing Bodies. It was when we were playing Bodies. Nice. He's actually whipping his hair. All right, we're going to give you the items on a receipt. You tell us the price. Yesterday, the Thai bot screwed everybody up, but we ended up getting quite a lot of people. Right now, here's how it works. I believe this was my pre-Thanksgiving meal.
What?
Yep. November 22nd. Potbelly? See the date?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Potbelly sandwich shop. But I didn't get the turkey this year.
Why was that?
This was, I was by myself the day before Thanksgiving. I was doing, there was a lot going on that day, if I remember right. And I wanted a sandwich. I remember this. So I got, from Potbelly Sandwich Shop, one mac and cheese, one steakhouse beef sandwich. There is a $3.99 delivery fee, a $3 service fee, $4 added tip, and I added $5 more just because I'm nice. 9, 12, $16. the fees and tips are very close to surpassing the food total. One mac and cheese, one steakhouse beef, $3.99 delivery fee, $3 service fee, $4 for a tip added before checkout, $5 after. Just, you know, Thanksgiving. It's the holidays. What is the final price? What will it be? You tell us. And all you have to do is put the number in. First two numbers, decimal. Last two numbers, no dollar sign, no emojis, no nothing. And you could qualify to win $5,000 at U-Fest, courtesy of Birthday Boy TV's Doug Hopkins. Potbelly Sandwich Shop, mac and cheese, steakhouse beef sandwich, delivery fee and service fee $6.99. Dasher tip and Dasher tip before and after were $9. Brady has decided. I'll tell you right now, Brady is within 35 cents.
Wow.
I'm not going to give the number, but Brady just guessed it within 35 cents. If Brady can do that, I'm not even going to give you any hints. That's pretty good. And that was just on the out of the top of your brain. Barely string a sentence together, but the man has every menu in America memorized. You're wasting too much brain space on all the pricing and menus.
That's what is you good. Talking about?
Yeah, I don't know. That's pretty good, Brady. So good luck. 97936. You text your guest to 97936, and you could very well be standing on stage next Friday night, and probably right before Chevelle takes the stage, being handed a check from Doug Hopkins for $5,000. How's about them apples? Good luck to all of you. 97936. Guess the total amount for my Potbelly sandwich. Delicious pre-Thanksgiving meal.
That's a delicious Thanksgiving.
No, it's the day before.
Oh,
still good.
Let's get to some radio videos.
All right.
So wait a minute. Tip and fees, you paid more than your sandwich?
Almost. Pretty close. I think it was like a $3 difference between tips and fees and the actual food.
Wow.
Hey, it's convenience, man. I'll pay for convenience.
Totally.
I didn't have to move. The day before Thanksgiving? Forget it. I'm not going out.
This first radio video has racked up 60 million views this week. It's titled Flying Cat. Basically, it's a woman in Chicago posted after her cat, Remy, got spooked and jumped across the entire room. Her other cat knocked over the a coat off the coat rack, and that's what spooked the kitty, Remy.
Okay.
And it is flying.
Flying cats are fun. When a cat goes nuts.
And then there's a cuss right at the end because the husband goes, what the was right. that?
I'll catch that. You got it, Rick? There we go. Uh-oh. What's going on? There's a lot of camera action going on. I'm going to throw up. Toledo's made the TV dance. All right. Here we go. Let's try it again. There we go. There he goes. This better be good. My God. What is happening on this screen? All right. Here we go. I think. This is better when Brett has murders. Okay.
Oh, put the puzzle piece together.
Put a puzzle piece together. You're going to miss the whole video. To verify everything, to watch a cat fall out of a building. All right, here we go. We're in an apartment. There's a coat rack. I see it by the door.
There's the kitty.
There's the cat. Goes over and pulls the coat a little bit. Coat falls. That cat jumps 48 feet in the air all the way across the apartment. I mean, from the front door to the back of the house and at about 9 feet in the air. Good thing they had high ceilings. That thing would have hit the... the top. That was a jump.
This one is happening in prison. You make the call. Oh, okay. No, first, we got not. The host.
Okay.
The host of a
Middle Eastern Zoo show.
Yeah, morning show.
Oh, this is going to happen.
So they're
Saturday.
Bringing in the a lion cub that's probably, you know, 4 or 5 months old.
Good sized lion cub.
And the mom and this husband off, with a baby.
This is off one of your Middle Eastern sites, Brady.
Yeah. Very curious lion cub.
Baby crying lion cub. Oh, he's got the baby. He's got the baby. The lion's eating the baby. Right on television.
Watch the lady. Watch this. Now the mom doesn't know how to react. Give me the baby.
The zookeeper takes the mom or the baby?
Yep.
Wait a second. The mom just gave the baby to the zookeeper.
Now she's embracing. Nothing happened there. You're okay.
A lion just ate your kid, and she's trying to tell her it's okay. She's just the host of the show.
I know. Look at the mom. Look away from
hold
the
on.
Camera. Like,
a lion is stealing this woman's baby on television.
And the, trying to keep smiling.
And the only yeah, thing smiling. The only just thing that's smiling. Happening is that the host and the zookeeper take the baby from the mother.
It's okay. There's no problems here.
It's the so fact bad. They didn't stuff that baby further into its mother's bosom is ridiculous. No, you give me that. This is your fault. You don't know how to handle a baby around a lion on TV.
Next one's the squirrel
spin. By the way,
spin.
If you're interested in that, bring your kids this weekend to Brady's World Wildlife Zoo thing. It'll probably be a good
we'll
chance.
We'll have a good encounter, but Brady. We won't bring a lion cub out.
We're not doing the squirrel spin.
Just yeah?
Saying. We've seen that.
When oh, we have? Okay.
When you're hucking...
Not that one. We've seen it. It's a squirrel spinning.
When you're hucking pumpkins at hippos this Saturday with Brady, yeah. There's a good chance a baby's going to get picked
pumpkin
up in an accident.
Chunkin'.
Yeah, it's not a good idea. That's not a thing. You don't want to do it.
The next one's a guy firing a bazooka.
Okay. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, he is, isn't it? Did it just fire the wrong way?
I think it was a bazooka. I'm not sure.
What that thing was. Is this the Iranian military last weekend?
It's a celebration of some sort.
Guy just fires the biggest gun I've ever seen in my life, throws him to the ground. No one in that crappy town reacts at all to dude in the center of the road shooting a bazooka. Live.
They're just sitting around on the scooters.
It's a Thursday afternoon, John.
One man's just filming it like it's like a traffic stop. And I think he may be dressed as Spider-Man as well. I'm not sure what the outfit is.
It might have cut down on sales that day. They're lined up to buy the gun. Like, let's see what it does.
This is the display. Maybe it's their heat stroke open, and that's the long drive. Yeah.
Their gun show.
I don't know what that was.
This was the one I was originally talking about. The prison. You make the call.
Okay.
The guy is suing the prison.
Okay.
Because he's saying the officer pushed him over the.
Okay, he's on the second floor of the prison.
They're pulling him out. Take him down.
We got to put our Shelly on this.
And they're walking him down the stairs. Got no shirt on and a towel. He's wet. Oh, he says he got pushed. He just jumps off the edge. He can sue all he wants, but he just jumped off the side.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Pretty good until they had the surveillance.
He probably didn't think the videos were aimed directly at him as he leapt over the edge to blame them. Is he paralyzed or hurt? I mean, he's hurt. But do we know what happened? Broken legs? Anything? No? All right.
Nope. They're just saying. Who pushed?
Good.
Was he
no,
pushed?
He leapt. He literally jumped over it. It's actually a pretty athletic move in a towel. All right, no Brett videos today because he's out there at Prestige. Thank God. Prestige Billiards, that's where he is. 79th Avenue and Bell, pretty much. 83rd Avenue and Bell is really where he's at.
Mike Moore and Steve Jones both have put a guess in on today. So,
okay.
28-76.
Both of they took two guys
that
to come
was,
up with one?
And then Mike's was 27-55.
Okay. Both of them are wrong.
Okay. Two people in so far.
Okay. By about.
Just two.
They're within 10 to 15 bucks, one way or the other. I'll tell you that. That's it. One mac and cheese, one steakhouse beef sandwich. Delivery service fees were $6.99. And then double tip was $9. You figure out the tax and all the other stuff. And you can have the price. Maybe win $5,000. God, I hope Steve Jones gets it standing up on stage and pulls $5,000 out of Doug Hopkins' pocket. That would be awesome. I won the U.S. Open once. That's
even
true.
Mike Moore.
And Mike Moore played for the A's. I mean, I
what
did
a World Series in 89.
$5,000 from this real estate guy sounds like a good plan. I don't sound like that. Anyway, it's 8:14. There you go, everybody. Good luck. You got the Doug Hopkins thing, 97936. Text it in. Maybe you win $5,000 from Doug Hopkins next week. We'll check in with Brett up there at Prestige Billiards one more time, trying to rosebud some of our listeners as they lift pool tables. It's 98 KUPD.
Arizona's most powerful, powerful rock radio station. KUPD.
You thought that was funny.
Holmberg's morning sickness.
You were laughing like a hyena when he said it.
98.
What the hell is wrong with you?
KUPD.
It's Metallica, everybody. The bell has tolled for those coyotes. They are all gone. No mas. But it hasn't tolled for thee. You can still get yourself all sorts of cool stuff right now. If you're heading up to Prestige Billiards, you got the Doug Hopkins game going on. We're giving away $5,000. There's a pool table that can be moved. Might be yours. Brett's got U-Fest tickets out there. Prestige Billiards, Bell Road and 83rd Avenue. Brett, are you there?
I'm here.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Right. Thunder Horse came out to visit me, so it's been entertaining.
There goes the neighborhood.
You got to play that.
We got to play it for Thunder Horse. Of course, it's
the
West Side.
Count for Thunder Horse.
Yeah, he's all right. So has anybody moved the pool table?
No, I did watch Meathead move it. And I tried to lift one of those slates. Not happening.
They're huge. He pulled them out of the back of a pickup and walked them into my house. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But yeah, he actually has a pool table in there. If you can pick it up and move it, like, you know, 180 degrees, then he's going to take care of you.
He's even given you a pivot.
He proved that he can do it.
Yeah, he's proven that it can be done. If you pivot a pool table, you can have it.
Yeah, I got a video. I got a video of him doing it, but I'm not showing it to everybody. But he showed me the trick on it, and it's still ridiculous.
There's a trick.
There is a trick.
Oh,
But you still got to be the size of Meathead to do the trick. It's ridiculous.
So you have to still be really strong. It's not like a fulcrum thing and kind of tilt it. Okay, so
will he extend it? I'm going to
interesting.
Will he extend it? Because I'm going to go get a pool table.
You're
going
to try to see. Brady's going to try to lift that table.
Oops, Rosebud, my butt fell out.
He'll be on my videos tomorrow.
Hey, Gabe Meathead, you mind stuffing in all that Carl Budding back in my holes?
It'll be in Brett's collection, exactly.
It's not going to be good. Brett, you also have U-Fest tickets you're giving away. You got some other stuff, but now it's taking a back seat to this blow-out-your-back-seat game that they're playing at Prestige Billiards.
Yeah, that's what we should call it, too. But, yeah, I mean, we're over here on 79th of Bell, and, we blew out one pair of U-Fest tickets. We're going to blow out another pair in about 25 minutes. Right. I mean, I had a dude travel all the way out here from Apache Junction. That's how bad he wants his tickets.
So. No kidding.
So I came all the way out from EJ.
Okay, real quick, though, that's about the amount in gas it would have cost to buy a ticket to the show.
I didn't want to tell him that, but, yeah, it's kind of what I was thinking. Like, really, dude? Just see me? Okay.
Apache Junction isn't his worst decision in life.
Oh, I know.
He's made a few awkward ones. But, hey, we appreciate you popping by. Lift that pool table and maybe you can do it. I got to see this move at 180 thing. I got to see it.
I'll send you the video because I have it on video. Proof that it can be done.
Okay, it can be done. But Kevin says if you spin it around 180 degrees, you can keep it.
Yeah.
All right. Man, oh, man. So we need a beast out there. If you want a pool table, they're free today if you can flip it around. That's amazing.
Yeah. And regardless, I'll get a good video out of it.
Absolutely.
Tomorrow. So.
Yeah. I mean, put something, tape up that back door because I can only imagine it's falling out. Well, good luck. Yeah, this is a weird day out there. All right. Prestige Billiards. And you're doing it again next week, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We'll be at the Scottsdale location, I believe.
All right. Another opportunity for you to blow out your b-holes out there at the Prestige Billiards and try to move a pool table and get some U-Fest tickets. Brent, we'll talk to you later.
All right. See ya.
All right. See you, buddy. There you go. How about that? Bell and 83rd Avenue. Didn't intend for that to be today's activity, but it sure is happening. Potbelly subs is what we're talking about, too, with the receipt. I've got one mac and cheese, one steakhouse beef. I got that. Somebody said, is it a skinny or a big? I think it's a big because I just looked at the prices. I also, Potbelly has raised their prices since November when I did this. I pulled this receipt out from a long time ago. I had it delivered. That was $3.99. There's a service fee of $3. Dasher tip they add before you check out was $4. I added $5 more because I'm a generous sort who knew that this guy was driving around where I didn't want to day before Thanksgiving. This is an old receipt. So $5, $4, $3, $3.99 are all service fees and tips. not including the mac and cheese and the big steakhouse beef, which is now about a buck more than what is on this receipt. You put in your total. We draw your name if you're in the right category. You'll get a little notice that says, hey, you did it. Congratulations, you're now in the running for Doug Hopkins' $5,000 price guarantee game at U-Fest next week. And then a qualifier today gets U-Fest tickets and gets to stand on stage and find out if they get $5,000 from Doug Hopkins next week. Easy peasy. Suns, back in action this weekend. And the voice of the Phoenix Suns, Kevin Ray, is going to join us in just a little bit to talk about what's going on with this crazy broad we've fallen in love with. And he said something to me yesterday that kind of resonated, and I didn't realize it, that calmed me down a little bit, although Kevin and I are on the same page. Kevin Ray is going to join us in just a little bit, talk about Suns playoff basketball, which is happening oh so very soon. It's 98 KUPD.
You thought that was funny.
Holmberg's morning sickness.
You were laughing like a hyena when he said it.
98.
What the hell is wrong with you?
KUPD.
I don't have any music for you, Kevin. What would your song be? What's Kevin Ray's intro? Sugar Ray. I just want to fly. Is that right? Can we do that one?
We'll just go. Please do.
Kevin Ray is here, everybody. Son, the voice of the Phoenix Suns. After he finally got rid of that pesky Al McCoy, he is now the voice of the Phoenix Suns all by himself on top of the mountain. And Kevin is getting ready for this whole thing. And you're going to be – this is such a successful thing. And one thing I want to bring up that nobody's talked about all year is that the Ishbia move to get this team onto Channel 3, Arizona's family, is probably – and you and I talked yesterday – it is probably the best move in sports in a long time for the fans.
Yeah.
Everything's been against the fans in its own weird money way. First time ever, they're like, this one's on us.
Yeah, and look, it was done very early in his ownership. I mean, he recognized it, obviously, from afar as, I mean, probably even in the negotiation process. But, you know, making that move has, you know, paid massive dividends because we went from 600,000, 700,000 households to 3 million.
Yeah. It got everybody on board.
Right.
Yeah, free TV. I mean, it's amazing to have that. Just here's the team. You guys have it. And instead of trying to figure out what you got to buy, pay for, pick up, you know, you got the NBA TV app. If you don't have Direct, you don't get it here. If you've got YouTube, you can't have it there. It's like, oh, it's just right there for you. It was such a great move. And you said that other teams are now using that same kind of blueprint and doing it all over the
well, well they would have done it a couple years earlier to see more people could enjoy the dominating.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's true. Have dominating on your free TV. I would have actually tried to cancel free TV, which I don't know if you could do. But
just
yeah,
eliminate that channel.
Yeah, eliminating would have been what I would have been doing. But the other team are thinking like this is the blueprint for the future. It's good for
when you started examining the you know the reach that these regional networks were giving you, and there was a benefit to them you know for a period of time, but you started seeing the limited reach, and I think what you know Matt and the Suns deal did was kind of force these guys to push back from the table and go, oh, I mean this was the thinking and the, you know, this is the way you executed it 20, 25 right. years ago.
Yeah.
And this idea that because it's a regional sports network, that's, you know, people were going to gravitate there. And look, you know, the audience today has so many more options.
Huge.
So you better make it as easy for them.
Exactly.
And as convenient and as inexpensive as possible. And now with some of these other deals that are coming up, guys are saying, yeah, I'm not going to re-up that deal. I'm going to take this model.
Because you get three times the audience, like you said, you're going to get that back in revenue on average. So Channel 3 and Ishbia, that was move one that made us go, oh, it's a different regime. This is for us a little bit. This is nice. Now, on the flip side, he took our girl's meds away, and she's been running all over the city like a mad woman. I love her. I hate her. I love her. I hate her. I know you and I talk about it all the time. I've come up with a new television show that I don't know that you're going to be a fan of, but you're the star, so let me pitch it.
Oh, great, okay.
You've already got the starring role. There's nobody else I could get for this. In fact, Eddie's in it, too.
Oh, well, you and the smooth shooter. Gotta have the smooth shooter.
I can't tell you how much money is being wasted by not doing this, because I have the privilege of texting with Kevin, whether he likes it or not, during the games. Because I get all fired up and like, and you just said something that made me. So I'll do that. I got you. I got a couple other friends. You and Eddie, when the cameras are off and the mics are off, at the end of the year, put together a one-hour retrospective of when the headphones come off, what you say to each other. After bad play, after good play, after what the hell was that, after all this.
That's complete venting.
People would, you'd every single person.
It's like the post-Manning cast.
Yes. It is an insight into what the broadcasters who have to keep the thing on the straight and narrow at all times occasionally have to hit that release valve and go, what the f*** is going on? Because you have to. You're people don't realize you're as invested in this as anybody. And you're just the guy that says, here's what's going on, folks. You'll give me
insight. You've got to give them the info.
You give me the info. You give me the insight.
Holding back a little bit.
Nobody better than you and Eddie is doing this. And I just happen to know that when you give me the emoji back with the big smiley face, something I just said was exactly what you and Eddie were talking about during the break. Would that not be the biggest show in the NBA?
It would be a big, big hit, I would say. And look, every team could probably parlay that into some massive revenue.
Why Suns to sign off on it?
But that's the problem. Because you run into the trouble that it's like you might say something that somebody goes, look, you can't say that about our team. It's just too tribal. That you could say something absolutely brutal that makes the wrong person mad. But you feel it. And I know that fans want the guys talking about their team to feel it too. And you do. And that's hard for you because you're not allowed to feel it.
Yeah, well, and it's, you know, I mean, it is a fine line. I feel like one of the things for EJ and I, and because we've known each other and worked around each other for 20 plus years, is, and you know, I had this conversation early on when I first started, even with the previous regime, which is I've taken great pride in like being the home team guy.
Yeah,
but I'm not going to be a homer.
Right.
Like I try to deliver. Because fans are too smart. You know, fans fancy the same thing. And if a team is struggling, I and EJ will say as much. But, you know, we're not going to be overly critical because we also understand that even professional athletes have bad nights, have bad days. So we try and channel in as best we can what the fans are feeling. At the same time, try to remain, you know, when they're struggling, try to remain energetic and positive because especially with an NBA season, it's a long season. And there's going to be good days. There's going to be bad days. Yeah. And what we try to do is give them the best possible, you know, description and picture of what they're seeing. And at the same time, try to deliver the kind of energy and positivity
kind of a fan feeling without being a super fan.
Yeah.
Right. But I know for a fact that if we went back a couple years, those mics went off and you heard, I'm going to kill DeAndre Ayton myself tonight. Eddie, I'm sure, told you that he was going to hop over that table and kill DeAndre
as
himself.
As a former player.
And that would make us fan. And it works. It would work if Eddie said it. If Eddie said, I'm going to get up, I'm going to kill him tonight. And then he would... And everybody would be, well, yeah, he deserved it in that game. If you said it, it's the fragility of the pro athletes. Like, this guy can't talk about me that way and all that crap. But if Eddie did, it would be great. Also, seriously, millions and millions of dollars just being thrown away because they won't allow that little spotlight to hit you guys as humans.
No.
So can I do it in a GoPro? I'll just sit behind you.
You can do your own, you know, from the Holmberg.
I'll just read your text. Eddie and I just said, oh, perfect. Hey, everybody, it's John Holmberg here. But I know that that's a thing that you're not supposed to, you know, have those feelings. But of course you do. And of course it's that. So that's what makes it so great is when your guys, because I'm a fan of like, hey, I grew up with Harry Carey. Jack Brickhouse before that literally would cry when the Cubs would lose. I don't know what he expected.
Right.
But there was a game where the Phillies and Cubs played and it was 22-21. Was the final score, and Mike Schmidt had like four home runs and whatever, and Brickhouse interviewed him at the end of the game, and he just goes, this was just awful. Like, he's in tears. It was a nightmare. But he had to interview the guy that beat him, and I'm like, that's kind of what I want. I kind of actually miss the idea of the dude sobbing with me.
Well, there is definitely nights, because when you do it as long as we have, I mean, you truly are, I mean, I know the fans, you know, and we've got some, you know, extremely passionate fans, but when you are as invested in it, and we're invested in almost like a different way because of the preparation that I put into doing the game. Mm-hmm. But I am a fan from the jump. And so there are days where I want to push back from the table and
throw something.
Cry or throw something just like a fan does.
Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah, it's crazy because I've been with you when you're not broadcasting the games on TNT nights, and you are like you're as into it as anybody. It's so fun to watch, but it's a tribute to your professionalism that doesn't come across too often. With the Kevin's lost his mind over this bipolar broad we've been watching for the last 8 months. You said something to me yesterday about the Suns. We get in the Suns. They have a better record this year than they did last year, which I didn't realize until you said that yesterday. I thought they were on par or a little bit less than. They're on paper in a tougher Western Conference better than they were last year.
Toughest Western Conference ever.
Ever.
First time ever in the West that there have been 10 teams with 45 or more wins.
Crazy.
And, you know, the Suns are not your garden variety six seed, nope. Just as the Lakers aren't even a seven seed. You can look at the West, and look, I was stunned, frankly, as easily as Sacramento handled Golden State, because Golden State and the Lakers were playing the best basketball, really, over the last, like, month to even position themselves to have a play-in opportunity.
Now they got to almost double down on what they did last month going into the playoffs.
And so now the Warriors are out of it.
Yeah.
And you've got the sixth seed Suns playing a Minnesota team, which is having their best season since Kevin Garnett was pulling on a uniform.
Yeah.
And the fans up there are freaking out because you know, I saw some stuff on Twitter yesterday, you know, and in many ways it kind of reminded me of like Suns fans. This guy says, best season in my lifetime, and I know it's going to end very soon.
Yeah.
We all like has this fatalistic view of like, I enjoyed it for six and a half months.
Prepare for reality.
In the next 2 weeks, I'm going to get slapped in the face.
It's like what I always tell you. I mean, sometimes I'm looking and I wake up next to Megan Fox and I'm like, yesterday was amazing. It's always going to be. And then a couple days later, I got Anne Hesh banging on my front door, like screaming and bleeding from her fingers. And I don't know why. It's crazy how involved we all are in this. The Suns could not have drawn a better first round matchup than the Minnesota Timberwolves in the West. On paper, we've been through this before.
Yes.
The Dallas Mavericks were 14 straight wins for the Suns before they got trounced by 60 points and on their own floor 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Do you see that happening again? What do you see with the series?
No. Well, first off, I always tell people, look, you know, be careful what you wish for, especially late in the season. You know, you would have people and you know, it happens every year. But people go, let's line up here. I even heard people earlier in the week talking about why the Lakers should tank and try to avoid, you know, taking on the Denver Nuggets. Like, man, that's bad juju. You go out and you win, you know, any competition that you are participating in. It is a very favorable matchup for a number of reasons, not the least of which is the Suns have, you know, handled them in all three games this year. There's certainly a psychological advantage there. It's a Minnesota team, young stud in Anthony Edwards, but he's only been in a couple playoff series.
Yeah.
And he is still very much, you know, like that unbridled horse a little bit.
Yeah.
Still very wild and
unpredictable all the way. Same with Cat. Anthony Towns, another one. All the talent in the world, what is he going to do when it matters?
And he gets easily off his game when the whistles aren't coming.
Yeah.
And this is what, you know, you and I were talking about yesterday. Like, post-All-Star break, the whistles have cut back dramatically. Stop. You go look and look at the free throw attempts that every team has taken, and they've dropped significantly. When Ant-Man is not getting those calls, he gets a little flustered. And so that is certainly a huge factor. But I think the Suns also have found the right balance in the last 3 weeks, and a lot of it starts and ends with Bradley Beal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like this guy, and
he's become the Xanax. He balanced this lunatic out. It literally, truly is. If we can get 20 from Bradley Beal, we have a nice balance. But otherwise, this bipolar lady can show up and go any direction. We don't know what's going to happen. But again, he was the key to that. I agree completely. Yeah. The second half of the season, when he played well, the team seemed settled and in a groove. When he was off, it was helter skelter nonsense.
And for him. And I think it's tough for us, obviously, to really wrap our heads around it because we have never been an elite scorer in the NBA. But this guy's led the NBA in scoring.
Yeah.
And so when you've done that for so many years, for a bad franchise. And I started saying this like 6 weeks ago. Like, Brad hasn't played meaningful basketball in March in 6 years.
Oh, my God.
And so you play on a bad team for a bad organization, and you're asked and told, score, 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 score.
Yeah.
Then you come back and you miss the chunk of games that he missed. You don't just flip a switch right. and suddenly say, okay, I'm going to be now the point guard and the distributor. So it right. took him a while to kind of wrap his head around that.
And also a guy who, like you said, hasn't been in this and sees that window closing in front of him, he put his hand in and started to pry it back open by himself, especially exactly. in the last game where you're like, this is mine. The Kings game, this is mine.
You're yeah. talking about
yeah.
Beal.
Yeah, Bradley yes. Beal. I mean, this was literally a guy who said, I've been on bad teams that get bounced, and I'm looking at one right now, and it's my fault.
And I had people who were asking me when they were still kind of, you know, up and down, like, do these guys like each other?
Yeah.
And I said, yes, they do. It's a quiet team, no doubt about that. But they were still really trying to figure things out. Like, Katie and Book were going to Brad and saying, man, you know, do your thing. But he was so intent on, okay, now I've got to be, you know, the right. distributor. I've got
to figure out his role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he was going through these phases like, okay, now I'm just completely passing up shot after shot.
Yeah.
Well, defenses start picking up on that. And I thought that like the last 10 days, he was like, you know what?
Taking over.
KD and Book are telling me when the shots are there, take it. Do not hesitate. And he just said, screw it. And now we're seeing that really great balance. Oh. And to your point, he sees this. He's like, And he had the post-game interview, which was fantastic, with Amanda Flugrad, yeah. where he...
It's time, just, Amanda. He, yeah, it's time.
That just the so raw great. Emotion and authenticity yeah. from him. And yeah. and that, to me, says this guy is grabbing this team. Because yeah. the thing with Book and KD, they're leaders, but just in very yeah. different ways. Yep. And Brad is like, all right, if I'm going to be the point guard, then I'm going to run the show, and we are going to get it done. Yeah,
that speech, I think he said to Amanda Flugrad, what's her name?
Flugrad,
yeah. yeah. And she does a good job, too. You get a good team, because even with Spicy's on, forget it. I want to play Mary F. Kill with Eddie and Spicy, but I know you won't. Anyway, we'll do it later. it would just be a fun one just to hear where Eddie falls. That's all I care about. The other dev, whatever, but I already know one. Anyway, but yeah, but when she did that, it was almost like somebody had scripted what Bradley said. And it was that movie moment where the crowd's like, oh, get ready for the big finish.
Yeah.
So, and that's the danger of this, is that moment you're like, you realize how much potential this team has. Have they figured it out? But honestly, as a fan, for me to get excited about a team finally being consistent when they haven't done it since October is very difficult. So we'll see. This is a huge we'll see playoff, right? We just don't know.
Yeah. But look, in a lot of ways, because of the things that we just talked about with the West being so stacked,
yeah.
I think you could say that for every team.
True.
You know, and we had this conversation yesterday about Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Like, yes, they are young, freakishly athletic and talented, but they're the number one seed.
Who are they?
And now all of a sudden you've got expectations.
Yep.
How does the youngest team in the playoffs handle those expectations?
The only one we really know is Denver.
Yeah.
The only one we really know that can do it is Denver.
Yeah, and outside that's what I say. End of the day, I don't care. They're 2 seed, 4 seed. Like, right. They're the defending champs.
Joker.
You got Joker.
Murray.
You got, yes.
Murray, playoff Murray's a different player.
Yeah, yes,
it's,
he is.
Yeah, damn it. It's your voice. The problem is, it's your voice. I should have never made friends with this guy.
I sent you off the rails.
I know, because he gets in here and I hear Sun's voice, and he starts talking about it. I get all amped up. I'm all ready to go. Look how pretty she looks now. She's all dressed up, makeup. She looks beautiful.
I've got only one request.
Damn it.
I'm not saying every time, but halftime, a lot of times, you know, do the thing. Their shooting percentage, all the stats, and this is what they need to work on in the second half. File that down a little bit and do about 3 minutes if there's special halftime. Like if the Red Panda's at the half, I want you to do play-by-play.
They actually did last time.
Red Panda.
They actually gave us a little Red Panda
Frisbee
last time.
Dog, and then you cover that.
Right.
Or, you know, some acrobats.
Yeah. Yeah, some like of that. No children singing. Just yeah, to ignore that. No, give me more rebounds.
EJ can provide dad because he never gets up at halftime, you know, because you know, he's the smooth shooter.
Sure.
He doesn't want to waste.
That's a way of saying he's just too lazy to get up at halftime.
Exactly. And so our stage manager, you know, now and has always gotten up, and EJ gets his tea and his popcorn.
And popcorn. He's always got his popcorn.
So he can provide that halftime commentary.
Yeah. I'm going to kill DeAndre.
She's got three plates spinning right now.
Yeah, I would love that. Yeah, and so another question I want to ask. How did you start? I know, what team was your first broadcast? Because I know broadcasters don't just go into professional sports. Because I'll tell you, my first broadcasting job was calling a polo match. Truth. I have no idea what it is. I still don't know the rules of polo, and I got a job calling a polo match. You've not heard anything worse in your life than that.
I've caught a lot of sports. A polo match is not among Scottsdale, them. Maybe I'll put that on a list sometime.
Try to have the guy explain it to you.
Go in there and then talk.
He's pushing a microphone to you and go, each segment is called a chucker. I don't know what that means. When do I announce that? And all you have to do is just say what the guy's telling you. And I'm like, why aren't you doing this? And he wouldn't talk on a mic. So what was Kevin Ray's first run-in with a broadcast?
My very first play-by-play broadcast was a high school football game.
Really?
Back in Pittsburgh, Kansas. So I went to Pitt State University. Yeah. Shout out, Gorillas.
The Pitt State Gorillas.
Pitt State Gorillas, right. Maybe. I knew I wanted to do sports at that time. And, you know, it was a small market radio station, and I was doing sales and sports and everything else. And at the time, I was looking at, you know, I wanted to become a sports anchor because that was when sports anchors, you know, they weren't cut off by the weather guys, you know, seven times in a 30-minute broadcast to say it's going to be 97 for the next 10 days.
You have a problem with weathermen. Man, that's some bitterness.
Man, there's some beef
there. Wow, did you feel that? He's going to punch Ian. Paul Horton in the nose. Ian Schwartz, yeah, you're no longer welcome at Sherry's Bar. So you wanted to be a sportscaster on a four-man, like, Ron Burgundy thing.
Yeah.
You wanted to be champ.
So, you know, like SportsCenter was, ESPN was, you know, still early stages, yeah. And the local sports guys were always at the big events. And it's like, that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
But I grew up watching, you know, games, especially NFL, like games every Sunday. And that was my soundtrack. And I was always fascinated.
Who was your guy?
By those guys. I mean, back then, you're talking about, you know, Pat Summerall, Vern Lundquist, Dickenberg,
the great,
yeah,
the great,
just like all the absolute legends, Al Michaels, you know, back in the day when he was still starting, and so I was always fascinated by those guys, but at the time I was focused on becoming a sports anchor. Well, the radio station that I worked for, because it was a small market, they did high school broadcasts, and they did like three every week. And I got a call from our program director one late afternoon, and he said, hey, Bill can't do the game tonight. Need somebody to do the game. I know you've never done it. You've kind of talked about maybe doing, you know, play-by-play or trying it. Can you fill in tonight? And I was like,
sure.
Sure. You know, high school football in Pittsburgh, Kansas.
Right.
And I did it, and it was like an absolute just like,
you drug. Picked it up
immediately.
Yeah. Oh, how
just
about
like,
that?
I was like, and
did you know anybody on the field?
I knew some just because you know you live in a small town.
Right?
The families,
high school football.
Kids.
I mean, it was like the Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
So I knew some of the names, but it was just this exhilaration of because love playing sports, love competing, and so getting to be a part of it, just on the other side, and calling it. And seeing and hearing from, like, the families, like the moms and dads, and, you know, telling you, oh, hey, we love listening to your guys', you know, coverage of the high school games.
Yeah.
Because for them, that was their Sunday or Saturday game, you know.
And they hear their kids' names.
Yeah. And they hear their kids' names.
Like, wow.
Yeah. You better make sure you get the kid's name right.
Yeah.
Or you'll hear from it in a very different way.
Don't do that. Yeah, do you still have parents bothering you in the NBA? Does Devin's dad ever come up? Well, you know, come on, kid.
That story wasn't true.
I got a great relationship with Melvin. He is one of the truly good ones. He's played it, you know, so he knows. But for me,
did DeAndre's parents ever come up to you and go, enough? Did you meet DeAndre's parents?
I did.
They're lovely people. I'm sure they are kind.
They were very kind.
They had the kind? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Passing
good to meet
around?
You, bro.
Yeah, I believe that. Give me an update or a prediction right now, Kevin. Tell me how far this team can go and how far you think they will go in a realistic way. I know as a broadcaster and a fan and an employee, you're wanting it all. We all do.
Yeah.
Where do you see a stumbling block really being like, all right, as an analyst, I have to say, they're not getting out of blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. You look at matchups. You look at the potential roadblocks. I do think that they will handle their business in the first round.
Yep.
I do not think that it's going to be as easy as Suns fans are hoping and wanting. Yeah. Again, just as you pointed out, the reminder of Dallas. What we got with Dallas.
Yeah.
They do not have a Luka, as talented as Ant is. He is not Luka. But I can see this team growing in even more confidence than we've seen over the last couple of weeks. And you know, they admittedly laid some eggs the last couple of weeks.
Yep.
But they had the toughest 10-game stretch since 2015-16 season.
Ending the season was a brutal ending.
And everybody looked at it and goes, oh, they're done.
Me.
They are cooked.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I
vaguely remember.
We had the conversation. Change. And the thing that I said, and this is, you know, the eternal optimist in me always. The thing I said is like, you'd rather them be facing the 10 toughest teams,
yeah.
the toughest schedule in that stretch. Because then you're going to find out, like, are they even close to being ready?
Yeah.
They went 7-3 in those 10 games. And crazy to think about. And they gave away two of them.
Yep.
They gave away two of those games. So if you look at that, going back to what we said about Brad, you win a first-round series, well, that confidence now goes up another level.
Yeah.
And as crazy as it sounds, but their recognition of the importance of the locker room and the vibe, people were looking at Isaiah Thomas and going, you signed this guy to a 10-day contracts, and he's played only sparingly.
5 minutes, yeah.
But his voice, his energy, his confidence has been, yeah. has resonated.
Thaddeus
like
Young.
Up, yeah.
Yeah, they got a bunch of guys who are leaders.
You'll hear Book talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, we can hear IT calling out coverages, calling out, like, adjustments.
From the bench.
From the bench. Wow. And that stuff, that it doesn't show up on a stat sheet, but it has been huge.
Oh, see, Kier's doing it again. Baby. I got half a chop. Kevin Rice here.
Reeling you, John. I can see a run to the conference finals.
Okay, but do you think that after the first round, because I think we all kind of feel like they can win that one, after that, everything's an upset if they pull it off? I mean, even depending, I mean, if the Lakers pop through and you end up with
them. If you're looking at seeding, yes, yeah. it would be an upset.
But I mean, even in your brain, you're kind of like, oh, next round, maybe you see Denver. You get past them, that's an upset. That even the Clippers, maybe an upset. Oklahoma City might be
balanced.
Clippers
got to get past Dallas.
And that's going to be tough, too. Dallas might be the most even.
That man, opening round series is good. It might be one of the best conference finals, whatever, of the entire playoff.
All right, let's get out of here. Let's just start jogging around the building. Kevin Ray, the voice of the Suns, is right there at Arizona Family Sports, and that's Channel 3 to all you. And they're going to do the first round on AZ Family. Non-national games will be on there, right?
Yeah, we've got every game the first round, which is super exciting. Nice. So there's no exclusivities. We've got a couple of side-by-side games. So we've got game one on Saturday, game two, then we'll be back here.
Yeah.
So we are, everybody is super excited about, you know, the playoffs. The ratings have been great all season long. The support that we've gotten from the folks at Channel 3. And look, in addition to just
Ian Schwartz.
The TV, except Ian.
Interrupt.
He's going to come down at halftime and do a weather forecast.
Guess what? It's 97. Thanks, Ian.
For the next 10 days, not a cloud in the sky.
I want to ask you about the Caitlin Clark effect, too, real quick. We've got a couple minutes. And did you see the thing that happened yesterday with the reporter that liked her too much, and now they're trying to get this guy kicked out of Indianapolis?
No.
He did the little heart thing.
Right.
And he said, I want to show you this. And Caitlin goes, oh, you like that? And he goes, I love this. I'm so glad you're here. I'm just glad you're here. And she goes, I do that for my family. He goes, you aim that at me, we're going to get along great. They're trying to pull his credentials. They're saying it was misogynistic. It's too aggressive. The WNBA, once again, shoots itself in the foot with the only time anybody's been really interested by saying, oh, he's a predator.
And this was the local
reporter? It was the beat. They're calling a beat writer for the Indiana Fever misogynistic. This dude, every day of his life, has just tried not to hang himself.
Because he apologized.
And he apologized immediately. They're calling him a predator. They're saying it was sexist. It's how dare you come on to if you wouldn't do that to Victor Wembanyama. I bet you someone in San Antonio said, I'm so happy you're here. I guarantee
it. I don't know how many Frenchmen are in San Antonio, but my guess is they're walking around.
Doing the heart thing. I don't get it.
I mean, I watch Victor warm up, and I'm
oh, I love watching him. Hey, Victor, over here.
I hurt you.
I love you, brother. Who's this? But, yeah, so it's just so weird that happened. And, again, it's the fragility of media and sports and whatever. She wasn't upset. But there's this movement now to get the guy out and fired.
I did not see that. Don't know the details of it.
So don't like people too much, because if you do, you'll lose your job. Doesn't make any sense.
I was going to flash you a heart, Brady. Yeah, but
don't do it.
You
have no idea
I'll
what kind of...
I'll just give you a wink of the eye.
No idea what kind of damage you can do mentally to that guy right there, showing
you
him a little
that?
Affection. Yeah, it's crazy.
Even talking about
thanks for coming down. Travel safe. You're leaving today.
Which, by the way, why didn't I just drive to Prestige Billiards?
You should have. Yeah, we should have. Yeah.
I'm like halfway here. Hey, it's Brett. I'm down with 83rd Avenue. I'm like, what?
Yeah, you could have gone the other way and ended up there.
10-minute drive. I could have hung out with Brett.
You'd have missed him,
though. Brett's phone and talked to us.
Yeah. He left Prestige early. We're assuming to get rid of the carpet roll, if you know what I mean. So Brett's probably got a body to get rid of. Look for it Saturday or Sunday.
Find something wrapped in felt.
K-Ray, what do you have for us outside of basketball? That's right. Grandpa K-Ray is here. I forgot. Congratulations.
Right.
Kevin became a grandfather.
I am a very thrilled to be here. I got to go hang out with my little Harper Lane.
Isn't that great?
I'm in love. Yeah. I gave her
you
lots
gave
of
a little heart.
I gave her lots of hearts.
I forgot, you predator, you freak. How dare you love that baby too much? Yeah, it's congratulations. I don't and will never know what it's like to be a grandfather. Thank God.
You and I probably have that in common.
Yeah, Brady will never know what it's like to be a grandfather. He'll never know what it's like to have a high school graduate.
15 now.
Yeah, he's not going to make it. He's not.
Right.
Any day now. That heart we're making, he needs it. He's like the Tin Man. But congratulations. That's pretty neat, huh?
Thank you. Yeah.
Did you ever think the day would come?
Grandpa
Kevin?
As a parent, you kind of think about it at some point. But even the day after she had her, and I'm walking into the hospital room, and I'm like, mind blown.
Yeah.
I mean, to be a grandfather at 42.
It's crazy to think that my little girl, Devin, who was running around on the soccer field, I'm driving by CCV last night, and every field is filled with, little kids playing soccer, which is what she used to do. I'm sitting out there, and I'm driving to go see her
and your granddaughter.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Now, let's be clear.
It's crazy.
She's much older than a child soccer player. She didn't. Yeah, we're not.
Yeah.
When she started dating her coach.
You weren't going to your daughter's youth soccer game your granddaughter. I got a little convoluted.
Hear
there.
Me clearly, people.
We have a special bond.
Yeah, it's very special. Of course, I have to babysit a lot since she's only in the eighth grade, but I started to want to clear that up. It is radio. You painted a picture occasionally.
So beautiful.
Yeah. Some of our slower listeners like me.
Right.
K-Ray, always good to see you, man. Pleasure to have you on.
You
thanks
too,
for
brother.
Coming down here. It's Kevin Ray, the voice of the Suns, everybody. It's 98.
Arizona's most powerful, powerful rock radio station.
You thought that was funny.
Holmberg's morning sickness.
You were laughing like a hyena when he said it. What the hell is wrong with you?
K-U-P-D.
Oh, my goodness. The Beastie Boys right there. Kevin Ray got me all amped up about the goddamn playoffs. I'm ready to go right now. Randy's Donuts just dropped off monumentally sized full. These are full birthday cake sized donuts. We got a room full of those. And I got an email from a guy that says, I don't have any of the, I don't know what kind of thing he's got. I don't know why I got to answer this for you. I don't know how to get Channel 3 for Suns games. You haven't been watching all year? Yeah, but through NBA app. And I'm like, well.
Buy an antenna.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to fix your, or the $4.99 if you get one over at Walmart.
That's what I'm saying.
And or just.
Go to a bar.
How do I find this, he says. And I just, there you go, Brady.
Yeah. Quit being cheap. I don't know.
You
there's
have,
1,000 monitors that'll have it
you
on.
Have
and,
a television, you've got Channel 3. But go to azfamily.com/suns to see your local listings. 3.
Have we gotten to a point where everybody forgets about free TV?
I'll tell you
that's
this.
In the air?
Yes, and it's their own fault. TV's too hard. They've made TV too goddamn hard.
Not the free TV.
No. TV's too hard. Getting free TV if you don't have any of the services.
Oh, yeah.
You got to go buy other things. Yeah,
it's
HDMI 1, 2. You can't just turn it on and flip the Magnavox over to 3 and then work a couple of sticks off the back. But no, we got to go. I mean, Kevin's such a good dude, and it's awesome for him to drive all the way down here and do this when he could have just gone over and talked to Brett on the phone. He's the way out there. But yeah, I mean, he got me all amped up. I wanted to ask him about that, too. The Coyotes moving. What would it be like if the Sun's up and left?
Oh,
can you
man.
Imagine this city would be, there'd be a parade of sadness.
Well, I tell you from personal experience, there'd be a big upheaval. When the when the Supersonics got stolen out of Seattle, it was brutal.
And people in the Coyotes are like, oh, this is rough. And we won't even talk about it after.
He's not involved anymore, but Colangelo would never let that happen.
No.
No. I mean, he's not involved anymore, but that's not going to happen.
Don't worry about it. They're not going nowhere.
We need a new arena?
Yeah. We're going to get that done for you. Don't worry.
Is this one of yours? He's got a vowel at the end of his name.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
No. I got a guy, Brett, you were out there at Prestige Billiards this morning. Trying to lift pool tables. This Travis guy emails and says, I could have gone out there if they were in the Tempe location. I'm 6'4", 220, a functional muscle. Me and Meathead could have gotten into a team pool table throwing contest.
Well, we'll be in Scottsdale next week. Travis, close enough for you, pal.
You got a week to plan it.
Show up.
He's 6'4", 220. Also, at 8:50 this morning, now you were supposed to be out there till 9, I got an email that says, I was at Prestige Billiards and Brett was no longer here, so I assume some Tony Soprano stuff had to go
on. That's a lie. I was there. Thunder Horse was there. He knows I was there till the end.
You got an alibi. Yeah.
Me and Meathead were talking after, so.
I don't know what it is with you guys. Always told me. I was at the Prestige Billiards. You just back off a little bit, all right? Christopher, tell him I was there. There was the big black guy who was standing right next to me.
Exactly.
Anyway.
That is my alibi. That's right.
I get a black for an alibi.
What?
You heard me. Good. Now we don't have a problem anymore. I'm the boss of the Prestige.
So nobody tried to lift the table.
No, I mean, he had the slates out there, like, because it comes in three pieces, and trying to lift one of those slates.
Yeah.
There was Rosebud Central.
He came, he came to my house with the slates in the, and I'll get an email from the same guy that goes, I can lift those slates. I don't care. You're not. That's not normal.
Should have been there then. Right. Could have got yourself a free pool table.
He's pulling these things out of the back of a pickup truck to build a pool table at my house. And he lifted it up like it was an aluminum roofing sheet.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. So he's like, grab the next one. I'm like, okay, Meathead. So I go to try to just scoot it over, and I'm like, I've got shoulder problems. Like, I immediately made an excuse, but the truth of the matter was, it was like it was glued to the ground.
Yeah, you didn't want a rosebud.
No, I didn't want my butt to fall out. I've said that. I wake up every morning and go, here's another day. Like, that's like being an alcoholic to me. I go to bed just glad that I made it through another 24 hours out my butt falling out. I've done a good job of that for 51 and a half years.
That's he lifts thing. Them up like it's a gallon of milk.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like nothing to
it's
him.
Crazy. Yeah.
Man, I just remember that's the true the definition of the ending of Citizen Kane. That's what happened.
Rosebud. His butt just fell out. Yeah, they're like, what's he talking about? It's not a sled. The guy prolapses right there at the end of the film. But yeah, Orson Welles invented the Rosebud.
They cut the audio out.
The original line was speed buggy. But nobody knew what that was yet. All right, we got an entertainment drill coming up a little bit. Also, Toledo's going to contact the winner of the Doug Hopkins Price game as well, as we qualify four people today. Tomorrow will be the fifth and final on-air qualifier. And if you're listening on the app at 98kupd.com and the app, you just download that thing. You can also accumulate hours listening and get yourself on that thing. So you'll be on stage. One of you is going to win $5,000 from TV's Doug Hopkins. Birthday boy, Doug Hopkins. That'll happen next Friday at U-Fest. The entertainment drill is coming up.
You thought that was funny.
Holmberg's morning sickness.
You were laughing like a hyena when he said it.
98.
What the hell is wrong with you?
K-U-P-D.
There's concert psyching rock all over the place, but we're focused heavily on the U-Fest. I have a lot of people who said they got through today, so hopefully it's you that Toledo tries to call in a little while and let you know that you've qualified for U-Fest and Doug Hopkins $5,000 next week, right there on stage with the glorious U-Fest promo team, me, TV's Doug Hopkins, and a check for $5,000. How about them apples? Easy enough. It's time now to be entertained. It's the entertainment drill. It's brought to you by our friends at ReactDefense.com, the home of tactical black self-defense training. Like I told you yesterday, you want to hop in there and get the best training you've ever had, the most interesting training you've ever had. It's easier than ever to do, especially with their seminars coming up and the offer they've got right now. You go over there to reactdefense.com and get on that seminar that's coming up in June for the weapons defense, which we went through some of that yesterday with some nice stuff. It was outstanding. Ran that 21-foot rule again yesterday. Eye-opening, crazy eye-opening stuff. There was a guy there yesterday who watched the 21-foot rule and said, I've done a lot of training in my life, military and otherwise, sign me up. And all he was there to do was just kind of monitor. He signed up immediately. For $199, you get in on that weapons defense seminar, and you get a month of training. That cost is unreal. And again, you're not going to get personal training for that cost for a month of activity and a seminar that comes in there and changes your world in the first place. So hop aboard right now. It's easier than ever to be part of making yourself a little bit smarter and a little bit stronger and a little bit better. ReactDefense.com. It's the home of Tactical Black. Brady, entertain me.
A producer named Carol Baum said she doesn't like Sydney Sweeney. And she says she's basically, I don't think she's really pretty or talented.
Yeah.
Her, Sydney Sweeney's agent, basically her rep, called her back and said it's sad that a woman in the position to share her expertise and experience chooses instead to attack another woman.
Right. Well, you can't say everybody's so fragile that you're not allowed to not like someone.
Yeah.
She is totally allowed to say Sydney Sweeney is not good looking and not talented. Some of Sydney Sweeney's movies would argue her point very well.
Yeah.
Especially the one that's on Netflix right now where when Sydney Sweeney's standing in a bikini on the promo picture, plot might be a little thin, but I'm still looking because she's got a great body. But is she stunning? She's pretty enough, but is she, is that leading her through the primrose path of stardom because she's so talented? So far, no. She's okay.
Carol walks back her statements, saying she wishes she never said them, and it's not her style.
Right, but she said them.
But she still means it.
Yeah, actually. Right, yeah.
She didn't say she didn't mean it. But
that stuff's it's so garbage to me. It's just like, you know what? I'm sorry that it offends people that I don't like something you like. Why are you so fragile that when someone says, I don't agree with it, it somehow negates what you think? If I like a movie and Brady doesn't, it doesn't make me mad because I know I feel the way I feel. If you like something, that should be enough for you. If Toledo goes, you're stupid, that's dumb. You know, well, they like it. There's nothing we can do about it. Nickelback. I admire Nickelback fans. All the people that told them, that's stupid. You're gay. Yeah, but I like it. So your opinion won't sway mine just because of calling me names. John Gordon likes some of the dumbest stuff in the world. He actually liked the L.A. Guns show that was here a few weeks ago, which might as well have been just people farting into cotton balls. And he thought it was great. I didn't. He walked away going, I still liked it. And I walked away going, John Gordon's a moron. And we're still pals.
Well, you were until this.
No, he's an idiot. He knows. He knows.
The latest on The Golden Bachelor is they're saying Jerry Turner and his wife at the time, Teresa, they were looking for a house. Well, during The Bachelor, when he finally picked her, they said some people that watched it said you could really see him change when he found out she came into some money from the stock market.
Oh, no kidding.
And then when they were buying the house together, when they're going to go over all the paperwork and all that, she discovered he had some financial problems.
Yeah, he wasn't in great shape.
And she said, I'm backing out of the deal. That's the rumor.
Well, that's a relationship where something is revealed where it's like, oh, you're broke and I've got money and I'm 70 and you're 70. This isn't going to go right. No 70-year-old wants to start handing half over to somebody they just met. Unless you're the flag lady over at Dimebag.
There's a fake AI trailer titled Bond 26. Henry Cavill is James Bond and Margot Robbie as a Bond girl. It's already gotten 2.4 million views. Hmm. It's pretty solid. You can see Henry Cavill being the Bond because earlier in the week, it was announced the latest rumor that Aaron Taylor Johnson would be the next Bond. But you see that trailer?
It makes people upset, but it is, along with Star Wars, sorry, John, the Bond series is probably one of the most overrated series in film history. There's a lot more bad than there is good in that series.
Time Magazine's list of the 100 most influential people of 2024 includes your girl, Dua Lipa.
Oh, yeah. Duh. Top five.
Doesn't have the order.
Top five.
No, but
top five.
And Axl Rose has launched his own personal website, theofficialaxlrose.com. Events, recipes.
A website.
You can go on that website.
How do I get to one of those? What year is Axl?
www.
You should see.
Which stands for World Wide Web, evidently. Wow, Axel's got a website.
Yeah.
I built one of those in 1999 when I went to Borders Books and got dummy website building software.
Then we can put our pictures up and talk to our families.
Oh, that's neat.
I think maybe that's the whole point. He actually did it.
No, he's proud.
He went to GoDaddy, got the whole thing set up.
Cost him a few bucks, but he got it done. Good for you, Axel. It's the Chinese democracy of websites. It took way too long to finally happen. That's probably not going to be worth it. What am I going to learn from Axel Rose's website I don't already know? Is it recipes or what's he putting on?
Almost. It does have a little thing where you click on things. You do home, story, events, bake sale.
Well, I am curious now if Axel's having some sort of a estate sale that he's got to let us know. Getting rid of some patio furniture this week if you guys want to pop over. Restoration Hardware. It's good.
Wow.
Okay. What's he going to put on his website? What's he planning, John Gordon? You know. All right.
Could be therapy stuff, too.
Ugh. Chinese fascism?
What?
The next
Oh,
album.
I see. Another album he's trying to promote. Yeah. Well, that could be done.
It's the only one I could.
Just by the internet. All right. I'm confused. All right. That felt oddly like it was 1998 for a second, but Axel's got a website he's proud of. That's it for us. You have anywhere to go to, Brett, today?
No, I'm good today. Good.
All right.
Sure?
Yeah, good today. He's got some things to do.
Watch the news.
There'll be nothing happening.
Watch the news. I guarantee it by Sunday.
Any day that ends in a Y, there's always a murder, a stabbing on the
worst news. Alibi.
No,
so it's a stabbing.
True.
So it's a stabbing?
I didn't say that. I didn't say anything.
You're worse. You're worse than this guy. I watched a murder show the other day where a kid was in, he's in the investigation room. They're talking to him and they're like, so tell us what happened. He goes, I don't know who you're talking about. And they give the name of the lady. He's like, he goes, I'm not even familiar with who that is. I don't know what you're talking about. Were you at this part? I don't know what you're saying. So you don't know anything about this person? No. What do you think she's saying about you in her hospital bed? And he goes, she lived? And they're like, we got you, kid. It was brutally bad. That's you. There's always people getting stabbed in the neck.
Three amateurs out there.
6-inch knife on the west side.
That's amateur.
You gave it all away. So it was a stabbing, Brett already said.
I didn't say nothing.
Yes, you did.
I didn't say nothing.
And that carpet roll will be coming.
For the record, in the artist category, your girl is on top.
She's number one.
According to Time.
Over Tay-Tay?
I don't know if Tay-Tay's on the list.
Yeah, she's not influential. She's boring. He was getting it done. All right, that's it. We're done. You guys have yourselves a fantastic Thursday. Larry's back. He's going to take care of you from here on out. So, we're done. We'll talk to you tomorrow. One last chance to qualify for that dough. Have a lovely Thursday. So long!
Arizona's most powerful, powerful rock radio station. 98.7 KUPD.